If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I'm the number one human being in music. That means any person that's living or breathing is number two. I want you to look at this camera. I have not done any drugs. I've drank a little bit, but even if I wasn't drinking, I would tell you the same thing. What do it take to be number one? You are in the presence of a champion. Bow in the presence of greatness, family.
Man drink like that and he don't eat, he is going to die.
Dude, don't do that, dude. Ow, dude, stop that. Dude, ow. Dude, I'm not kidding. Dude, I'm not fooling around. Dude, stop that, dude. Ow, dude, don't do that.
Everything is falling apart and, like, birds are dying. I mean, birds are dying. And it's like...
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
Should I buy some pot?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Another. Are you a pedophile?
Roll another one.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Just like the other one.
Oh hi, did you want to buy some drugs?
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Munchies. Who wants munchies?
The best tonic is chronic.
Just pass it around.
Now exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Marijuana is bad. Okay.
Aloha, and welcome to
our feature presentation.
Oh, you touch my ta-la-la. My ding-ding-dong.
Sing it if you know it.
I don't know that Gunther is the theme of Coachella. I don't know that that's where we're headed.
Playing Saturday night just before Prince.
I don't think that's true. I wish that were true. I don't think that's true.
Not true?
I think that's enough of the Gunther.
Touch my ta-la-la.
All right, that's enough. You're right. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, speaking of drugs.
Yes. Is that what Mike was on when he put that intro together?
Yeah, exactly. No, yesterday, you know, Dave was following the car chase.
Yes.
I heard this morning that that guy was throwing pot out the window during the chase.
Oh, Dave, if he'd have known that, he would have been stopping and picking it up.
I know. Apparently had a ton in the car.
He was throwing weed out.
That's fantastic.
He's probably smoking it as fast as he could, too.
Probably. That was his last time for a long time.
We are at Coachella. Give us a moment to take care of some business. Mike, can you set it up so that we don't hear ourselves too, please? Like we usually do when it sounds good.
Thank
you very much.
Excellent.
Better. Appreciate that. So we're out here at the Coachella, and it's been, I don't know, 200 years since I've been to Palm Springs.
Yeah.
And wow.
It really has. It's been 200 years. And it occurred to me, I don't know why I thought of this last night, but I think the last time I was in Palm Springs, Kevin and I came out here and interviewed Mayor Sonny Bono.
Oh, really?
Wow.
If you recall.
About spring break? Is that what that was?
I think it might have been about spring break. And I just remember, two things about that. Three things, really. Sonny Bono, before, you know, he became a bad skier. And then I remember us going down, like, one of the main drags, like, standing up in a limo or something.
Yeah.
Do you remember with like a whole bunch of people like cruising back when you could still cruise in Palm
Springs?
Yeah,
that was spring break. Yeah.
Cruising going up and down the strip. And then you're never going to believe this. Lisa, you may remember this. Mike, you're going to die when you hear that this is the kind of show Kevin Amin used to do. And then we had at the time something that was called the Kevin Amin Las Vegas Style Review, where it was a sort of a stage act a little bit. And it involved at one point us getting on stage at a nightclub and singing the theme from the TV show Gumby on stage in front of a live audience.
What?
Yeah, I know. It sounds retarded.
It sounds retarded?
It was retarded.
At the time, it was received brilliantly.
Really?
No, it was stupid then, too.
I don't know why we did it or why we thought that was entertaining or that anyone would hope or care to hear that, but we're up on stage with microphones singing to an audience. He was once a little green friend of mine, or however that song goes, the Gumby theme, and I don't know, what were we thinking? Like, how was that a choice that was made?
And I remember the people looking back at us with two things. One is, who are these idiots?
Right.
They didn't even know who you were?
No,
we're in Palm Springs. Nobody here knew who we were. Nobody in L.A. knew who we were. We'd been on the air like a year at that time.
And two, why are they singing this BS? What's this song about?
What is this song, and why are they not playing a disco record that I can dance to right now?
But once you're first line in, you got to commit. So we we tore it up. If I recall correctly.
I'm sure you did. I'm still trying to picture Bean in a car full of people in a limo with his head out the top.
Woo! Party!
And I think we may have had a hot tub in the limo. I don't remember. But it was weird. It's just one of those moments.
About that.
We have many, you know, just as a result of how stupid this job is. But there are many moments that you look back on and go, how did that happen? How was I involved in that at all?
How did we get the thumbs up?
The problem is that we have to come up with a lot of ideas. So you got to throw out a bunch of stuff. And at the time, in a little room, you got a couple of people. They start laughing, going, that'll be funny. And then you realize when you're on stage, no, this is not only a bad idea, but everyone here is miserable.
Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah, it isn't good.
So, Mike, I think you now understand why when I tell you missed the golden age of Kevin and Bean. You came along too late.
I would have been cool with that. Ralph would have killed you. Literally. He would have, if Ralph was around during that time, he just would have murdered you both.
Ralph would have done the right thing.
Yeah.
Because it was not good.
Exactly. So anyway, so where are we on the Coachella grounds, Kevin?
So this is showbiz.
This is your hood every year.
Yeah. See the tent right back there? That's the main stage.
Oh, no kidding. We're that close.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're on the grounds of Coachella. Of course, it starts today, tomorrow, and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be all day each day. And this is showbiz. Let me just say this is living because the sun is just starting to come up, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's 40 below.
I figured.
And Bean and I are the only ones here with a couple of engineers and Alex. That's it.
There's no one else there?
Not another soul.
No.
You wouldn't be able to tell because the fact that the generator that I don't know what it's providing for you. It sounds like it's about an inch away from the microphone.
It is. Kevin is sitting on it. Kevin is sitting on the generator, right.
I like the vibrations.
And we're also about 30 feet from a 4-lane highway, so I think that's going to be an issue later on in the show. But right now, it's a little bit quiet. No, I don't think the doors open until 11 or something, so we are practically the only people here. Now, what's the deal, Alex? This little park that we're in, this is part of the guy who owns this property kind of uses this for his private stuff. His parties and stuff?
They have the big like pre-show barbecue every Thursday night here, and he's got a private lake, gazebo. There's some geese in the lake or ducks or something.
Yeah, we got a lake right here to her right, and I can see down your top when you lean like that.
Awesome, fantastic.
Yeah,
can we fish? I haven't fished
in
a
her
long
top.
Time.
No, in my top or in the lake?
In the panties.
This is the area that we try to sneak into each year.
Oh,
because it's got a lake and everything. We got to figure out a way to get in there.
You're trying to steal the John Deere tractor this morning.
Well,
what?
You can't put a John Deere. It's like a four-wheel drive dune buggy.
Kevin looks at me and goes, I need one of these immediately.
I've got to get one of those. If I'm going to be here today, I need to drive around on one of those.
That's how you should have gotten to Coachella.
Exactly.
Oh, good answer.
Yeah. Speaking of which, let me just say.
You drove yourself?
You drive out the 10, you get onto the 60. You drive the 60 all the way back out to the 10.
Did you look at a map? Because we know you flew in.
I did not, no. It is really brown. There's a lot of brown.
Yeah.
Not a lot of green.
No. Mm-mm. But we're in the desert, Kevin.
But the desert
is brown.
But the amount of brown. The homes are brown.
Right.
The poles are brown. You go through that area where those wind tunnel things are, the fans, those giant fans.
Sure.
They used to be white, but they've been in the sun so long, they're kind of yellow. You got a lot of yellows.
Yeah, those
a lot
houses
of beige.
Used to be other colors, too, but now they're just brown.
Morongo Casino, kind of a yellow dirt. Very, very brown drive.
Yeah.
A lot of brown. I'm saying there's not many other colors. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You want your bright blue, you don't get it.
That's an outstanding observation.
You want your black? Nope. Brown. Tan. A lot of that.
Okay.
Very, very brown.
You're making me miss the Gumby song at this point.
It's not very colorful. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
We are sitting next to a stage that looks like there's a chair, and it looks like it's set up for Jack Johnson.
Some Jack Johnson love right there.
Yeah, that's right. It's a big fan.
Friday the 25th of April.
Yeah, Breakfast with Jack Johnson is going to be happening about 6 feet to our left, so that'll be fun.
Very cool.
Bean's Asperger's kick in when I don't say the date.
I know.
He has to play that or he goes crazy. Jeremy McGrath on the program today.
Yeah.
Talking about Core Racing. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's dumb.
Now we got airplanes going overhead. Well, they may drown out the generator.
Core Racing is not smart. They go pretty much on a Moto X course with jumps and stuff, and they race in cars.
Really?
Yes. It looks awesome. I mean, I think I would tear it up. But anyway, Jeremy McGrath is doing that. We'll talk to him today. It's on NBC this weekend. Beer Mug is going to attempt another world record.
Yes.
So excited. So excited about this.
The Guinness records have literally been kneeling before him as he destroys one after another.
He's failed at every attempt.
I drank your milkshake.
Not yet, actually. We're going to be doing that coming up after 7 o'clock as Beer Mug attempts another Guinness Book of World Records attempt. It's 5:49, as Kevin mentioned. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
He was once a little green slab of clay. Gumby! Yeah. You should, come on, sing it with me. You should see what Gumby can do today.
Yeah.
Gumby!
That was
he
us.
He can walk into any book with his pony pal Pokey too.
That was us.
If you've got a heart, then Gumby's a part of you.
Yeah, we sure sang the heck out of that on stage at a nightclub in Palm Springs.
See, I joined the show too late. I missed the good days.
They were playing dance music. They stopped it so that we could sing that song, and then we left and they went back to dance music.
You know, a guy does that in my neighborhood, get the crap kicked out of him.
And rightfully so.
That's just not good.
We probably looked a little flimsy up there stopping the dance music for show tunes. But we'll ask Lightning when he gets here.
Nope, don't want
to
know.
He's coming down to video the Breakfast with Jack Johnson out here at Coachella this morning. We'll ask him because he may actually know where that tape is. We may be able to put our hands on that, Ralph.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, I want to hear that more than anything.
I do, too.
All right. 10 till 6, time for the Showbiz Beat.
Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
Is a good-looking dude.
Yes, he is.
But enough about that. He does not hate the paparazzi like most celebrities.
What's wrong with him?
Well, he's got a reason to like them. Apparently, he was at the beach, and the photographers were naturally snapping pictures of him. And if you're Hugh Jackman, you don't mind them taking pictures of you at the beach because you're just all cut up and shredded and ripped and look great. But he lost his 7-year-old son.
Oh,
his son got lost. And one of the photographers found him and reunited the two.
Oh, my gosh.
So sometimes it comes in handy to have people tracking your every move and that of your family, because if it wasn't for the paparazzi, he thinks it would have been much harder to find his 7-year-old.
Are we sure that the paparazzi did not kidnap his kid?
And they buried him in the sand. And then
I found him.
Dug him up and said, here, you owe me now, Hugh.
Hey, look how many times Britney's run out of gas or had a flat tire or something, and the paparazzi are the ones who saved her.
Sometimes it comes in handy. Speaking of the Spearses, Jamie Lynn, the 17-year-old sister of Britney.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
She's not charged with anything, but she may not have the stomach for motherhood. Star Magazine says that her mother, Lynn, showed the 17-year-old mom-to-be a natural childbirth video.
Oh, Lord.
And Jamie Lynn responded by throwing up upon watching what she would have to go through in natural childbirth. So Jamie Lynn has decided to undergo a cesarean section. She said she'd like to be knocked out and wake up when it's all over.
I agree. That's good. That's a good call.
I don't think they knock you out for cesarean, do they? Don't they just give you
a local,
A local, right? So you don't feel the incision, but I don't think they can make you unconscious.
No. They don't knock you out.
But in her case, I say knock her out and then decide later whether you really want to bring her around.
Maybe run off with the baby.
Yes, just run.
Yeah.
She wants to be knocked out until the baby goes through the teen years, and then she can then bring her back.
Until it graduates from college.
Right.
There's a pretty high success rate. Ralph, you know more about this than I, but 17 is about the right age to start your family, right? I mean, if you really want a successful kid.
No, the doctors say that's the best time to 17. Be a parent at 17.
Cause anything later than that, you missed out on the best time.
Well, you lose touch of your inner child. That's
exactly.
The problem.
You can be kids with your kid,
right?
Which is cool.
Just be a playmate more than a parent, which is ideal. Okay, here's a sign you have too much goddamn money and you bought your wife everything you can buy. Guy Ritchie bought a present for his wife Madonna to celebrate the fact that her latest single, 4 Minutes, has gone to number one on the charts.
Right.
He bought her a $20,000 dagger.
What?
A knife. A $20,000 knife.
Is he hoping she will use it on herself?
I have no idea. But if you're down to expensive knives as gifts, you're out. Stop buying her anything, because you obviously have nothing else to purchase for her.
I don't know. What would she like? A diamond-encrusted dagger? Jeez, that's perfect.
Do you have any knives? I'm looking for something in $20,000, $25,000 range. You know, a really nice one. A really nice dagger.
This is f***ing retarded.
Can you throw in the scabbard for that? It just goes right in there so she can wear it out to events.
I don't care if they committed 100 crimes, if they committed 100 murders.
Yeah.
How can anybody be against that?
Hardened criminal Shia LaBeouf is back in the news.
Oh.
Shia was in court yesterday and got the Burbank DA to drop charges of unlawful smoking. Apparently, he was caught puffing away on the sidewalk in Burbank.
Are you telling me they're going to let him walk the streets after that?
I can't believe it, Lisa.
No
first
way.
OJ, now this.
Is there a program he can be entered into? Some sort of rehab facility?
They should put some sort of anklet on him or something before they let him out roaming in the streets.
I'd like to know where he is at all
just
times.
Just standing on the streets smoking like a freaking criminal.
You know how they are, Millie?
Apparently, it's illegal to smoke in front of a store in Burbank, and so that's why he was arrested.
And that is common knowledge, by the way.
Absolutely.
We all know that.
How dare you think because you're walking down the street that you can just light up like some sort of ruffian?
What is the law in California? Is it one of those 20 feet from an entrance of any business kind of deals?
It's city by city, so it's really hard to tell. I believe in Burbank it is something like 25 feet away from an entryway to a building.
What, did they have people who were on purpose standing in front of stores blowing smoke in? I mean, really? This needs to be a law?
I don't know.
What is wrong with us?
But apparently he got a $500 fine, and they were willing to drop the misdemeanor charges in exchange for cash, apparently. To buy your way out of something in Burbank, which is good to know. Yeah. Oh, how could this be true?
What?
How could this happen? Apparently, there's trouble in the marriage between Gary Coleman and his wife, Shannon Price.
No
way. I thought
that
was forever.
She didn't even know who he was when she met him, and she fell in love.
Yes, she had no idea he was the star of Different Strokes, and that's it, pretty much.
Just a security guard for a while?
Security guard, yeah. Apparently there is trouble in paradise. Shannon, according to Inside Edition, is ticked off because Gary spends all of his time playing with his choo-choo trains.
Really?
Yeah, spends a lot of time isolated playing with his choo-choo trains and his video games. And Shannon feels neglected. She also claims that he doesn't want kids. And she's disappointed because she would like to have children. And, my favorite part, sometimes he throws things at her.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on.
Well, he's like a 5-year-old.
That's why he doesn't want to have kids.
That's ridiculous.
Stuff at him.
He can't reach her to hit her, though. He's just got to throw stuff from down on the floor. Stuff.
Yeah.
It's like that gnome in Argentina just lobbing, some little man lobbing stuff at you.
That's right. Maybe that was Gary. We never saw his face, the little guy, the fishing gnome.
You think he's still a virgin, or did he get it done?
I'm sure he's still a virgin. He said, when they got married, he said he's not, sex isn't important to him, and he doesn't know if he's going to lose his virginity or not to his wife.
Oh, my God.
But wait, it gets better.
How?
Because they're taking their beefs to Divorce Court, the syndicated TV show.
Yes.
They're going to get a divorce on the TV show Divorce Court.
And yes, we have to watch. Fantastic.
May 1st is the date, Lisa May. Circle your calendar. The episode of May 1st on the syndicated show Divorce Court will feature Gary Coleman and his soon-to-be ex-wife, Shannon Price.
Awesome.
After 6 months of marriage, apparently it's all falling apart. And speaking of reality television, did you know that there is a new MTV show called I Want to Be Paris's New Best Friend?
Yes.
I had no idea this existed.
I did hear about that.
Paris Hilton has an upcoming reality show where she will look for her new BFF.
That's hot.
85,000 people applied.
All of them, guys?
85,000 people have applied to be Paris's new best friend on the MTV show, and apparently she has narrowed it down to 6. And that's when we'll start seeing more of the contestants. ParisBFF.com, by the way, is the website if you want to go and check it out. If you do, you're going straight to hell, by the way, if you're interested.
I thought this. They came up with this idea when she and Nicole had their very public split and went into production with it, and then she and Nicole got back together, and now they're BFFs again.
But I'm sure Paris really will be best friends with whoever wins this show.
Forever.
Yeah.
It won't just be you meet her once and get an autograph, right?
No. And lastly, congratulations to Carmen Electra and Rob Patterson. They are engaged. Us Weekly magazine announces the fact that the two have decided to get married. They've been dating less than a year, so it's bound to turn out great.
How many times has she been married, Ralph?
This will be Carmen's third. She was originally married to Dennis Rodman in 98.
That didn't last long.
That union was annulled.
Yeah.
And then she was married to Dave Navarro, of course, from 2003 to 2006. So this will be the third attempt at wedded bliss for Carmen. Best of luck, Rob.
Exactly.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jason Lee from My Name is Earl.
Hey!
No, he's not Asian at all, Jason Lee. No. Although, wasn't that Bruce Lee's kid's name also?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, Brandon.
Oh, Brandon Lee. That's right. Why am I thinking Jason Lee?
Because there's an actor named Jason Lee on My Name is Earl.
No.
Who had the birthday today?
Who played Bruce Lee in the movie about his life?
Oh, that's interesting.
An Asian dude, I think, named Jason Lee.
Maybe you're right.
Maybe. I don't know. But his son was Brandon.
Yeah. I'll do some research. Anyway, Jason Lee's 38 years old today. Renelle's... Yes, Renee Zellweger, or Renelle Zellweger, is 39 years old today.
Wow.
A puffy 39.
Yeah. She does always look like she has to take a poo.
Eric Haven.
Her face looks like a butthole with lipstick.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
That's true. That is true.
Butthole it's lipstick, true. By the way, is tuning up now. I can hear him in the background. They're getting ready to kick things off there.
They're
going to
play right after Squirts Illustrated.
Oh, wow. Eric Avery of Jane's Addiction is 43 years old today.
Yeah, Eric.
Don't play it. Hank Azaria of The Simpsons, and most recently in Run, Fat Boy Run. He is 44 years old today. Bjorn of ABBA is 63. And Al Pacino, my good friend Al, is 68 years old today. And I don't know if you caught Al on David Letterman or not, but you know, he and I did that film, Two for the Money, together.
Yeah. Right.
Well, he did it.
Yeah, we both worked on it.
I mean, mainly. Yeah, you saw it,
but
right?
I was in it a lot.
You watched.
Okay. I was also in the film with Al.
Oh, right.
And I'm surprised that he remembered me so fondly when I was watching Letterman.
Do you see young actors that you are admiring?
Oh, sure. Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
In fact, there's this one guy I worked with in Two for the Money named Ralph Garman. Hoo-ah! Boy, is that kid talented. He's the whole package, Dave. Talent. Looks. Quite an amazing fella. Damn, he's good, Dave. He's good.
Wow.
You're a lying sack of
Wow.
It was not you.
Who else was a guest on Letterman who said that?
Yeah, it was not him, dude. That, you do the voice. That was clearly edited.
No, sir.
All right.
Al Pacino's 68 years old today, and amazingly, his hair is still jet black.
He's a douche.
Oh!
Hey.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dude, don't forget that new song, Discipline, that we world premiered here on K-Rock. You can get it for free. You can download it for free at the front page of KRock.com. I think available is the word you were
Available.
And, of course, Nine Inch Nails, one of the many breakfasts we have done in the past here on the Kevin and Bean Show. For folks who have not been with us for very long, we take a giant K-Rock artist, put him in a tiny place usually, and, food just arrived. Oh, I'm so happy. What, was I saying something?
No.
Was I talking about
you
something?
No.
And we let you, the K-Rock listeners, come down and see him perform live in the morning and interview the artist as well. That's what's happening this morning. We're out at Coachella, and Jack Johnson takes the stage here about 6 feet away from us at a little after 8 o'clock this morning. You definitely want to be tuned in to listen or watch at krock.com.
I don't know if you guys can hear Jesus, Bean's gardener, but he's apparently Bean has instructed him to mow Coachella before it begins today.
I wanted to look good. That's all I'm saying. Jesus is the best lawnmower I know, so I brought him down with
me. A lot of mowing if you've ever been here. That is a lot of damn mowing.
Beer Mug goes for another Guinness World Record eating today. Also, Ralph's got the movie because it's Friday. Speaking of movies, Harold and Kumar, Escape from Guantanamo Bay is one of the films we're looking forward to that opens up today. And I guess, Psycho Mike, you and your pal Omar were on the red carpet in Hollywood last week.
Mike and Omar escaped from the red carpet.
That's right.
Don't you see the correlation?
Is this the first time Omar's done the red carpet biz?
First time I've done red carpet or any interviews of any kind.
Excellent.
Yeah.
DJ Omar Khan.
How did they come to that conclusion that you would be perfect?
You want to know the reason why? This is not a joke. His name's Omar. and it kind of sounds like Kumar.
Oh,
I'm not kidding. Oh no.
Yeah, that's how we roll here. You know that, guys. Come on.
Really?
I swear to God.
What a terrible way to make a decision.
It worked out, though. It worked out for the best. Right, trust me.
This is the celebrities get up. They come out on the stage. You don't have a lot of time to talk to them, right?
Right. Yeah, but I had no idea. I mean, this is my first thing, so, you know, I get there, I'm kind of nervous, and I'm trying to ask Mike, and Mike's just like, you'll be fine. You know, not give me, you know, they give you these sheets with the people that are going to arrive, and there's like 50 people, and I'm like, what the hell, am I supposed to memorize all these, you know?
Yeah.
And they're, you know, the people there, the producers or whatever, they're no big help, you know, here you go. And read all the bio.
I'll tell you something else, because Kevin and I have done a fair amount of these in our day. Unless Ralph is there to tell us who everybody is, we are worthless. They bring up a celebrity that's allegedly a celebrity, somebody that you should know, and they want you to interview this person. And oftentimes, we have no idea who that person is, if they have any connection to the movie, what it is they're there to talk about.
Yeah, totally.
It's daunting.
Yeah, and then, you know, I thought Mike, because you know how Mike's mind works, he just remembers everything, you know, and he reads Us Magazine and all that BS.
Right.
So I give the sheets to Mike, and I'm like, Mike, you know these people? He's like, I don't know any of these. And I'm like, oh, good. Like he knew, like, the main characters of the movie, but not, like, all these other people that we're supposed to interview.
But I also knew that they keep you, having done it before, that, you know, I'm not an expert, but I've done this a couple times. I know that they don't want them up on the stage that long anyway. So I was like, don't sweat it, Omar. Just say a couple things and get them out, and then it'll be fine, you know?
But if you know anything about Mike, you know that he was sandbagging you, Omar.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
that
yeah, yeah, to-
he
yeah,
could
totally,
have helped
totally,
some, but
totally.
He didn't want to because it's funny.
Oh, yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
That might have been true. Now, the problem with this red carpet was that there was zero people in the crowd. Usually, it's on Hollywood Boulevard, and it'll be packed, and there'll be people waiting to hear you on this loudspeaker. There was, like, three bums chilling in the front, and so... It was hilarious to hear Omar and I had this booming PA system, and we were addressing the throngs of people that came to see this red carpet.
Yeah, and by the way, the movie company had us dress up in bright orange jumpsuits, prison jumpsuits.
Because the guys escaped from Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, exactly.
I get that.
That's a tie in there.
So we're in orange jumpsuits. We're on this red carpet and on this stage. There's nobody watching, and every actor is late. So we have time to kill.
Right.
And when I have time to kill and nothing to talk about, you know how great that goes.
Yeah. You talk about Karate Kid, usually.
Or Hitler. Listen,
Hitler.
You know, it's Hitler's birthday as well.
Really?
I don't know why I threw that in, but it is.
Good times, Mike. Thanks for that info, Mike.
April 20th, Hitler's birthday, everybody.
Yeah, because I was talking about, you know, it being 420 that Sunday.
Why, Mike, under any circumstances ever, would you bring that up for entertainment for the crowd? Why?
I don't know.
I have a better question. Well, why wouldn't the movie company down there go, okay, these guys are off?
Nobody's paying attention to us,
dude. We don't want them up there talking about Hitler's birthday.
Well,
I mean, Omar makes perfect sense. 420, obviously, I mean, that's probably why they had the screening that day, right?
Sure.
Because it's Harold Kumar. I mean, that makes total sense to talk about with the crowd. It's interesting. There's a tie-in. Then you bring up Hitler. What's the deal?
Finally, some of the actors arrive, and... You know how when you're asking questions, you want to keep it short and try to cut out the fiddle faddle? And a lot of times when you say the word like for no reason, people, they get annoyed by it. It can be to the crowd. If you say, and then like in the movie, like, and then listen to Omar.
By the way, this is my first question, okay? This is like the second interview, my first question.
Noted.
Okay, listen. Right. Listen.
So I heard originally, like, you guys were going to do a Harold and Kumar Go to Amsterdam movie, but, like, that didn't quite pan out, and you guys just kind of, like, you know, made it this whole, like, terrorist thing. Did you guys have any hesitations on, like, doing the whole terrorist, you know, because it is such a touchy subject?
Wow! That covers every question you could ever ask them.
Right?
And they didn't speak.
Dude.
Nice job, Mike Wallace.
More time to kill.
You look good, Mike. I like the orange on you. It is a good color.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Well,
here's me trying to ask John Cho a question.
Now, this is like cult classic. It's I know the second one's going to be a cult classic. And you know, there's Cheech and Chong, all these other ones. Are you a fan of all those other cult classic pop movies?
You know, I'm very embarrassed. I've never seen a Cheech and Chong movie.
No way.
No. So send
that's going to let a lot of stoners down.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they care.
No, they're stoned.
They're very high.
That's true.
Wow.
DJ Omar Khan.
Man.
Yeah, so this guy named Eric Winter comes up, and I intro.
Yeah, Eric.
I intro Eric Winter. Check this out.
And let's give it up for Eric Winter, y'all.
Yeah, Eric.
Is that Mike?
That's Mike right there on the mic.
That was Eric Winter, by the way.
Yeah, who is that?
He plays like the guy who's marrying Cal Penn's girlfriend in the movie or something.
Gotcha.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
So Cal Penn comes up to the carpet, and instead
he's
of us,
Kumar.
Yes, he plays Kumar. Instead of us interviewing him, he interviews me.
You're John Cho?
Yes, I am.
And you are Cal Penn?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about making this movie and what that was like for you.
Well, it was hard because it was a very touchy subject, obviously, dealing with terrorism in Guantanamo Bay. And originally, the directors and producers, they were reluctant to dive into that.
Did you feel like it was maybe a bad thing to make light of it, or is the story not about just that?
Well, you know, I hearken back to the 1993 Rams, and they said, you know what, if we make light of it, maybe everybody can take a little better, you know, a little better perspective of the situation.
I feel the same way. It's good to hear you say that.
Did you say the 1993 Rams?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
Is that the year they left California or something?
92-93 season, they were like 1-14. So their take on it was to just make fun of each other. Yeah,
I got you. All right. No, that was good.
No, good reference.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was good reference
number two that went over well.
Right. So after that, you know, we're talking a little bit about House and the comeback episodes and stuff and how it's going to be really great. So Cal Penn says that it's a real good way to come back from the writer's strike.
I think a great way to come back from the strike.
Definitely. A writer struck blue.
Agreed.
All right, so, I mean, could you have you ever...
I didn't mean to leave you hanging. No, I just wasn't sure if there was more coming out of that.
Yeah.
That was
Well, you know, at those places, anytime there's any, like, pause, it's super awkward because you don't know these people. So I figure, like, Mike or, you know, anybody would jump in. And I come back. I got nothing, dude. Come on. I'm no professional.
No, but you delivered sweet
or whatever.
You delivered that blue with all your heart.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
That was strong.
Yeah, I had to commit. So this guy, David Krumholtz, comes on, and he's in the Santa Claus movies with Tim Allen.
Oh, so, he's so happy.
Exactly. So I interview him.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for David Krumholtz. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's right. You got it good.
I am a huge fan of the Santa Claus movies, and you were the head elf.
Yeah.
That's the first time I saw you in anything. You're amazing. How was it working with Tim Allen?
It was good. It was, you know, it's like, you know, he's a good guy, funny, nice gentleman, I guess.
He dissed me.
DJ Omar Khan.
Boy, that was really gay.
Yeah.
Wow. Omar was just so happy to see anyone who had a connection to Tim Allen that
absolutely,
he could talk about.
Absolutely.
You were the head elf. You asked him that question with more energy and enthusiasm than I've ever heard.
Oh, I was amped up. And by the way, I said he was amazing in it.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Here's my intro to Neil Patrick Harris.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the man, the myth, the legend. Let's give it up for MPH. Neil Patrick Harris, y'all.
It's a big cheer. Thanks.
There's nobody there. I don't know why I'm doing the big old, let's give it up, yo!
Okay, first of all, that's the only way you can introduce people. Yeah, that's the normal way. Let's give it up. But if you didn't have anyone there.
Yeah, no one. Absolutely
who are you
no
speaking
one.
To? Who's They're giving just, it up?
No one. That's why he's just like mocking me. Oh, great intro, dude.
Sounds good. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for the intro.
You know, doing this premiere on 420, given what kind of movie this is, was not the best idea because everybody's home smoking out.
Yeah, totally.
And they got the most high energy, keyed up guy in the world, Omar Khan, to come in here and scream at people for a half hour.
When he gets nervous, man, he is so amped.
I'm exhausted just listening to Omar now, much less at night.
How about his first question to Mr. Harris that had it was really relevant to the movie and the plot and his character.
In the trailer, you're on a unicorn. That's awesome.
I do ride a unicorn. It's true.
that's not as much a question as it is a statement.
Yeah.
You're on a unicorn in the trailer. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Here's
not good.
Here's Eddie K. Thomas.
Tell us a little bit about your character, man.
I'm Jewish.
Okay.
Big stretch.
And now Eddie K. Thomas asks us why we're big douchebags in orange jumpsuits.
We're in orange jumpsuits because we escaped from Guantanamo Bay. You see, do you get the tie-in?
So now we're just mocking ourselves.
Wow. Mike is pretty much just leaving you to hang, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, no. Well, here's the thing.
That's a good choice.
When you got two people up there, one person's job is to hold out the mic and make sure the other person's mic'd, right?
Right.
So I had the mic in front of my face, and he was, you know, putting the mic in front towards the guest's face. So I kind of felt the need to not stop talking. You know what I'm saying? That's why I just kept going and going and going.
Excellent.
Yeah. Jason Biggs was down by, like, the street, like, where the limos drive people off. And we see him, and we try to get him up on the red carpet.
I think they're all cheering for Jason Biggsy over there. He's the latest man.
Ladies love Biggs.
Mr. Biggs? Biggsy?
Come on up.
Come on up here, man. I guess the cameras are more important than us, Mike. I guess we don't look sexy enough.
Yeah, he's not having any of our nonsense.
Really?
That's awesome. They finally like started boycotting you.
Yeah, absolutely. He just walked right past us.
This is our last clip, and it's worth the wait. Rob Corddry comes up, and Omar, I don't know why he felt the need to hammer home the pooping your pants comedy. But it is insane how he will not let this die.
But he started it.
Yeah,
now,
he
this,
did.
Is, this guy is the comedian that's on the...
It's on The Daily Show.
The Daily Show. Right. Yeah. Right. Very funny guy.
Right. Right. Very funny guy. Very cool guy. Seemed to be, you know, going along with our
totally.
Shenanigans.
Totally.
But he makes a reference to the fact that he's so nervous that he might have had a little accident. And Omar just, I don't understand why he will not stop running with it. But listen to this.
I mean, when I'm excited, I do things in my pants.
I don't smell anything, so when did this happen?
I am wearing an adult-sized diaper.
Nice, nice. So it keeps the smell nice and tight in there?
No, it'll seep out. I mean, I just did it, so it's going to take a while.
Ladies, watch out. Rob Corddry has crap in his pants. Just watch out, ladies. Be warned. Be warned. Rob Corddry has crap in his pants. Did everybody hear me? Rob Corddry has crap in his pants. Okay.
I filled my pants.
Did you guys hear me?
Omar, there was... We are broadcasting live from the grounds of Coachella this morning for our Breakfast with Jack Johnson.
Why don't they have the Coachella show now when it's like 70 instead of later when it's like 150?
Plus, there's no traffic now.
Yeah.
So you could get here. If you left right now, you could get here in no problem.
But, I mean, how bitchy would it be if the Rockin' Tours were on right now? It'd be so comfortable and so fun.
That's not the same as running from tent to tent trying to find something and then realizing when you get inside the tent that it's actually hotter than outside.
Yes, I know, because of the people. Now, let me ask you this, Kevin. I think we learned this week that there are 132 acts between all of the various stages at Coachella this year.
That's correct.
How many will you see?
I don't. That's the fun thing about Coachella is you just wander from tent to tent.
You don't even know who's playing.
Most of the time, no. I mean, you get your favorites that you want to see, and you know what tent they're playing at, because there's usually three tents and two stages. And you just kind of, but then from then on, if there's not anyone playing, you just walk up to a tent, see if you like what's going on, and it's pretty cool.
Now, Larry King's Forehead, that's one of the bands I know you're looking forward to.
By the way, you can get the lineup at krock.com, because today's Friday, of course, the Verve, the Raconteurs, the Breeders, Fatboy Slim, of course, Jack Johnson, Leopard Skin Camel Toe, Nut Goggles. You can find out when when your favorite bands are on stage just by going to krock.com.
I didn't know Nut Goggles.
Oh, sure. Yeah. On Saturday, you got your Prince and your Portishead, your Kraftwerk, your Death Cab for Cutie, your Rilo Kiley, your Rampant A-Holery, your Spicknick Basket. There's a lot of good bands. Scabby Nipples is playing on Saturday. And so if you want to see when they're playing on stage, you can do that as well. And on Sunday, it's, of course, Roger Waters, Love and Rockets, My Morning Jacket. And it's impossible to say all the names of the bands, but Vietnamese K9 Goulash, I believe, is playing on Sunday.
I don't think that's a real band at all.
Welcome to the Vomitorium is playing. Ty Vag, I think, is going to rock it on Sunday.
Come on.
And Black Efron is also on Sunday. So if you want to see your favorite bands, you can check out the list of what times the bands start at krock.com. You can also watch all of it at krock.com.
Well, that's shocking to me.
Starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon every day. So 3 this afternoon, I'm talking separate from our breakfast at 8. We have breakfast with Jack Johnson at 8. You go to krock.com, you can watch that. But then starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you can see live coverage of Coachella all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday.
That's unbelievable.
And it's super high quality. It's not like a normal K-Rock thing. AT&T Blue Room is doing it, so it looks good and it sounds good.
It's too good. It's too much entertainment to be given away for free, if you want my opinion.
Inconvenient Boner itself is worth coming out here. I mean, if that was the only band playing.
Oh, speaking of that, by the way, single-day tickets for Friday and Saturday are sold out. You can still come if you want to get a single-day ticket for Sunday. Those are still available. And three-day passes are still available, too. So if all of this sounds too good to miss and you want to pony up the $269, you can be out here for all 3 days and all 132 bands.
All 3 days, if you rocked this hard, you'd be home by now. Playing.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah, that's a good band, too. So if you're coming out to Coachella, we have a few public service announcements for you.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series, How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Chapter 31, Bowels and Bladders. Going to the bathroom can be half the adventure while attending Coachella. Okay, three-quarters of the adventure. Maybe 91% of the adventure. Lines at the porta-potties can be quite long. In fact, last year, the end of one porta-potty line...
He's a fake!
Oh, come on!
How dare you?
That's
not true at all. Jack Johnson on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ with the fine accompaniment by our own Ralph Garman. Jack will be here 6 feet to our left at 8 o'clock this morning for Breakfast with Jack Johnson. K-Rock listeners are starting to arrive. They'll be here to hear him perform this morning and help us ask the questions, too.
It's going to be at krock.com if you'd like to see that. It is 6:54. We are going to set a world record coming up just after 7 o'clock with Beer Mug, who is just destroying records left and right. And we've picked one that we think he'll be able to do.
I drink your milkshake.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Bee. What's going on, Ralph?
Nothing.
Okay. What? Thanks for checking in.
What's wrong? Just bummed.
Why? About?
Did you see the hockey game last night?
Last night, Flyers-Canadians, game one.
3-2. We got the lead. 3-2, the Flyers have the lead with 31 seconds left in the game.
Oh, no.
31 seconds left. Montreal ties it up 3-3. They go into overtime. 48 seconds into overtime, they score the overtime goal. Canadiens win.
That's 4-3. That hurts.
4-3.
31 seconds.
Oh, come on. Able to hold that.
I could stop the Canadiens for 31 seconds by myself. Hurts.
That was game one, right? So it's your down 1-0.
Yeah, but they're the best in the East. We really needed to steal one, and I think I think it's trouble. But
that was your chance.
So I got drunk.
Did you not have your lucky socks on or whatever it is you're supposed to be doing to help the Flyers win, Ralph?
I had my lucky French tickler on. Maybe I should have tried the ribbed for their pleasure.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Amy Winehouse is sinking faster.
Oh, these new pictures of her, she looks like she's about a week from death.
Wow. We have to start the Amy Winehouse death pool.
Yeah.
She's a week past death, by the way.
We gotta pick a date and say whoever gets closest wins a couple bucks, because there's nothing else to do but watch it all unfold.
I think that is ugly. I think the Amy Winehouse death pool is 4 o'clock today, the Gobi tent, by the way.
Love those guys.
Does she only sleep in her car now, Ralph? That's the impression I get from the photos.
I think she sleeps under the car. That's the impression I got from the photos. Somewhere in the gutter. She is, according to the London Sun, British newspaper, getting extremely violent recently. First episode happened early Wednesday morning, where she went to a bar and punched a guy who wouldn't give up the pool table.
Well, she had next.
Second event was Wednesday night, when she started throwing drinks and turning over tables at a London bar and yelling for people to leave because she's a legend and she wanted to take drugs.
Oh, wow.
Everyone get out. Because I'm a legend and I want to do some drugs.
And by the way, folks, this is what she's like after she's been to rehab.
Yeah. Wow.
One poor guy tried to get her into a cab. Apparently he was a fan who took some pity on her. And she thought he was trying to molest her and headbutted him.
Oh, no.
Police are currently investigating the incident. So
that's awesome.
She is... good times.
I thought she might do better since her husband is in jail and he seemed to be such a bad influence on her. But
I don't think it matters who's influencing her.
Doesn't sound like it.
She's on her own. NBC has leaked the information that they've decided who will take over for Conan O'Brien once he slips into David Letterman's seat on The Tonight Show sometime in...
You mean Leno.
What did I say?
Letterman.
No, Leno. Sorry. Slip into Leno's seat sometime in 2010. Conan's taken over for Leno, and according to Fox News, Jimmy Fallon will take over Conan O'Brien's show.
Now, that's interesting.
Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
Have they done test shows and stuff that we just haven't seen? I've never seen him do an on-air audition.
This is all the information I have, is that they're talking about Jimmy Fallon taking over Conan's slot. I'm sure that somebody at NBC said, look, he wasn't that good on Saturday Night Live, but at least he was a failure in movies. So let's give him his own show, because we're NBC and that's how we roll.
I am bummed out if D.L. Hughley doesn't get that job, because that's the show I want to see.
He's very good at it.
He's
great, and he wants to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think he'd be an excellent talk show host, given the time.
But he's black.
Well, I mean, I think that's fine. You're all right with that? Okay, good. Bean's all right with it, everyone.
Guys can't host TV shows.
Well, I think it's time that they do. When President Obama gets in there, I think things are going to be changing in that area.
Yeah. Well.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I just don't think it's a good idea. I wouldn't watch.
Ralph, you know we're on the air, right?
What? No, I meant Jimmy Fallon. I wouldn't watch.
Oh, Jimmy Fallon. Okay, yeah. I don't blame you there.
He's white. That's true, too. Speaking of black and people I love, Gary Coleman's back in the news.
Yes.
It's hard to fathom, but apparently there is some trouble in his marriage of 6 months to model Shannon Price. By the way, they keep referring to her as model Shannon Price. I wonder what she models.
The only thing I've ever seen her model is the photo of her with her husband, Gary Coleman. That's yeah. it.
She models him.
She should model some sort of, like a hockey mask company or she should work for or something.
Oh, no.
I'm just saying she's not a beautiful model.
Not attractive.
Anyway, there's problems in their relationship, and they're getting a divorce. But not just any divorce. They are going on to the syndicated TV show Divorce Court to hammer things out.
Of course they are.
That's where you want to do it.
The episode will air May 1st, and I can't wait.
They're usually the most even-handed, so I can see that.
Yeah. Is he doing it just because he gets the $100 to appear on the show or something? Yes. Is that why?
I don't know. Shannon's complaints, according to Inside Edition, are that Gary often spends his time alone playing with his video games and choo-choo trains.
Is that a euphemism for something?
No, I think he actually plays with choo-choo trains.
Wow.
Shannon also complains he doesn't want kids. She does. And sometimes, just sometimes, Gary throws things at her.
Maybe they should have dated more than 20 minutes before they got married.
I think Gary Coleman should marry Amy Winehouse.
Oh, good. There you go.
That's the couple I want to see.
A good match.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jason Lee from My Name is Earl. Oh, stop it. He is a 38. I did some research, and Jason Scott Lee is the name of the Asian actor who played Bruce Lee in the movie of his life. So there was a connection.
That is right.
Did he die mysteriously, too?
I do not believe he did. His career did, but he is still very healthy, apparently.
I went to the, this won't surprise anyone, but I went to the gravesite of Bruce Lee and Brandon Lee a few weeks ago, and it is in a cemetery in Seattle, and it is one of those graves that is visited 100 times a day, every day, 365 days a year from fans from around the world.
Did you do that because he inspired you to be a black belt?
It's just the fascination with that family continues. It's unbelievable, the stuff that people were leaving behind, the tributes and the poems and the flowers and the everything else.
Why did you go there?
I just had never been. I mean, it's one of those local attractions that I'd never been to, and I thought, hey, I'll go check it out.
And
I
was talking. Bean loves death.
I do love death. And I was talking to some of the people who work there at the cemetery, and they said, yeah, it's like this all the time. It's like Jim Morrison's grave in Paris. It's one of those that is almost never empty. So many people come to visit. The father and son are buried next to each other up there.
Why did you go, though?
Because I had never seen it.
I've never seen it.
Right, but you don't live 15 minutes away from it.
I wouldn't go if it was in my front yard.
Why would they bury Brandon Lee in your front yard? I'm just saying.
Plus, Bean has been studying Jeet Kune Do now for years.
That's true.
He's going really, to 20. Yeah.
He's a master.
He's a master. Renee Zellweger's 39 years old today. Yeah.
Butthole with lipstick.
Gina Torres. You know Gina Torres from I Think I Love My Wife? She also played Anna. On Alias.
Anna.
Remember the badass chick?
Right.
Anna Rodriguez, whatever the hell her name was, who used to fight with Sidney Bristow all the time? Yeah. She's 39 years old today. Give her a bell. You got a bell over there?
I do.
Give Gina Torres a bell. She's hot. Eric Avery of Jane's Addiction is 40.
Yeah, Eric.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. 1 hour from right now, we will begin our breakfast with Jack Johnson, which you can see at krock.com if you want to go on there.
I'm going to hop on this train and see where it takes us.
Is there a freeway near where you guys are broadcasting?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, there are trucks going by, but mainly it's just Jesus Beans Gardner. He's got him mowing Coachella. If you could have him go over to the California side of the thing, that would be better.
It is beautiful where we are, Ralph.
We're in Arizona is where we are right now.
We're right on an enormous pond that is the pond is right between us and the main stage of Coachella, where the main action is going to be, of course, all weekend long. And we are awaiting the arrival of Jack Johnson, who less than 1 hour from right now will be on this little stage performing live, answering questions from the K-Rock audience. But just because we're here at Coachella broadcasting today doesn't mean we've forgotten about Beer Mug's weekly appearance as he tries to break a Guinness World Record. Good morning, Mug. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
How you feeling, dude?
Oh, fantastic. I'm ready to do this.
You should see how Mug is dressed, guys. He's got a toucan, a Canadian beanie. He's got mittens on. He's got a scarf, and he's wearing some sort of sweater. He looks like he's going to go play in the snow.
Well, there are a lot of records that we have been thinking about. There's a grilled cheese sandwich record, 47 grilled cheese sandwiches in 10 minutes. There's a donut record, 47 glazed and cream-filled donuts in 5 minutes.
Easy.
There's eggs, hard-boiled eggs. But we decided today to go with O.C. Anyanwu's record. He set this record on November 9th, 2005, and today Beer Mug is going to try to set a new record for the fastest time to drink a 17-ounce milkshake with a straw.
Eating challenges are the name of his game. He has never won one. He is super lame. He's Beer Mug. What's he gonna chug? Easter beads or hot dogs, you know he'll never quit. K-Rock's Kevin even made him taste poor sh**.
Oh.
He's Beer Mug. What's he gonna chug?
Here's what I love about Beer Mug, by the way, is that many people, if they try and fail and then try and fail and then try and fail, start to lose some enthusiasm. Yes. Not Mug. Mug is as convinced today that he will set this record as he is every single week right before he fails.
Mama didn't raise a quitter.
he's as enthusiastic as a dog. Every time they see you, it's like they've never seen you. He's in the studio today. He actually thinks he's going to be able to do this. Now, the record for the fastest time to drink a 17-ounce milkshake by straw is 9.8 seconds.
I drank your milkshake. Wow.
9.8 seconds.
Easy.
Now, these are custom-made shakes, Ralph. You brought in the blender?
These are homemade shakes. I'm adding the milk now.
Okay.
We're using Dreyer's Grand Ice Cream, whole milk.
All right.
And I'm going to whip this up. And then we've got a glass that is exactly 17 ounces. So I will fill the glass to the top. Mug's got a straw in place. Just let me blend them up and we'll get going, okay?
All right. Fantastic. Now, Mug, I know that you have practiced in the past with some of the other records that you've attempted. Have you had any kind of preparation leading up to today for this challenge?
I actually did. 2 days ago, I complimented a nice burger with a shake from In-N-Out. And that was pretty difficult to do. So I've trained hard.
Wait a minute. Shake. You had a milkshake and In-N-Out. That's your training hard?
Yes.
You trained hard.
Tough. Okay. Ready to go.
But let me ask you this, and I know we don't have a lot of the specifics about the current record, but it seems like the more liquid the shake is, the easier it would be to suck it down the straw fast.
Sure, yeah.
Are there any kind of rules in terms of the viscosity of the shake?
Well, no.
Ricky
I don't,
knows.
I don't know. But
wait, you always do mug search. How did you not do any mug search?
My mug search was just strictly training on this one. I just went right
into
the field.
And by strictly training, you mean one milkshake at In-N-Out.
Yes.
Ralph, right. since you're behind the blender today, how would you describe the shake? Is it like a McDonald's shake, or is it even thicker than that, more like a Frosty at Wendy's?
I would call it standard thickness. It pours easily out of the blender container, but it's certainly thick enough. It's not liquidy in any sense. So.
I think the more liquid, the better, because he has to do it through a straw.
Right.
That's the difficult part. Yes. You can't just tip it up.
Doesn't seem like someone like Super Whore would be really, really good at this challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, when you really think about just sucking it in as fast as possible.
She could suck the whole glass through a straw.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know why we're having Mug try this.
All right, 9.8 seconds. We have a timer that is 9.8 seconds?
I have a timer.
I have a timer set up in exactly 9.8 seconds. You will hear a buzzer go off. So
we'll see where he is at that point. The milkshake has been poured. The straw is in place. And Mug, are you ready?
Let's do this.
Ralph, give us a little play-by-play.
All right. Can we start the timer?
Mug, 3, 2, 1, guzzle.
All right, he is sucking. Oh, look, his cheeks are concave. Look, he's really getting it down. It's going very quickly. He's about halfway through.
Wow.
He is,
Are you kidding me? That was 9.8 seconds right there.
That felt like two.
He drank. Mug, that was exactly 9.8 seconds.
He drank less than half of the milkshake.
Oh, Ralph, fill it back up. Give him another shot.
Hey, do we have like a thicker straw?
You mean a wider straw?
Like wider, yeah.
And I actually fashioned these straws. I fashioned them. They were longer, and I cut them in half. They're pretty wide straws. So
did he steal those from Omar that he uses for something else?
No, these are the 7-Eleven Big Gulp straws. Yeah. The big thick ones you use on the major Big Gulp.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
we
have
to hold
it back up to the top again.
Let's top it off and go again.
All right, it is topped off. Now you have an idea of how much time you have to play with. All right, Mug?
Here we go.
You ready, Mug?
Let's do this.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, chuck.
Come on, suck. Suck harder. Suck harder. Suck it, bitch. Suck it. Come on. Get it down.
Suck, dude.
All right, come on. Seriously. Oh, his head,
waving
his
around.
Head is concave. His arm is outstretched.
Oh.
He got like a third of that one down.
Oh, no. Fill it back up.
One more time.
I drink your milk.
I think you can do it. I have confidence. Why do you think it would be easier the third time around, Kevin, than it is the first?
See how Mike's feeling. Mike, how are you feeling?
Feels like my brain is...
Yeah. Hey, stop talking. Fill it up. Let's go again.
It's full?
little less talking, a little more sucking, I think is what we're saying here.
Don't gyrate so much, too. You're gyrating like crazy. Just
why is he gyrating?
I don't know.
Well, I think the pain, the brain freeze is making him a little jiggy.
Hey, two things before attempt number three, and then I think we're almost out of time here. A, is Dave, King of Mexico, is he videotaping for KRock.com?
Dave has got the camera in hand, yes.
And B, Alex has some advice, and I guess it's coming from some personal experience. You need to relax the back of your throat, Alex says.
Is that how it goes?
That's the answer.
Right. Get rid of that gag reflex.
All right, are we ready for attempt number three?
Do it. Do it, Stu.
Mug, look at me. Come on, dude. All right? Come on.
Oh, Mike's giving that personal trainer.
Three, two, one, suck.
All right, he has got it down on the table this time. He's trying a different technique. He is sucking. His eyes are bulging out of his head. He is sucking. Now you got a shot. Go, 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 go. Come on.
I miss the days of the Looters. Those are the good days.
We should move to Montreal.
Apparently, they're still doing it.
There, they burn cop cars and loot.
Montreal?
No, not Montreal. Monty Hall.
7:24 of the Kevin and Bean Show. Jack Johnson, Breakfast With, coming up in about 40 minutes or so right here on the world-famous KROQ. And if we haven't mentioned this enough, you should know you can go to KROQ.com. You can actually watch it this morning. Don't just have to listen to it on the radio. You can actually watch the broadcast.
Although the 20 people that are here are going to have to get down a little bit so the camera can focus on Jack.
That's true. And of course, you can watch Coachella all weekend long starting at 3 o'clock each afternoon at KROQ.com as well. It's Friday morning. That means Ralph's here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, gang. Five new movies are in theaters this weekend. Some of them look very promising. Others have man-eating crocodiles in them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Opening today in limited release is a movie called Rogue, about an American journalist played by Michael Vartan of Alias.
Oh.
He was on an assignment in Australia when he comes across a man-eating crocodile.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they have to try to defeat the crocodile.
Poor Michael.
Yeah.
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 Yes.
On the upside, Rhoda Mitchell is in it.
Oh, yeah. Bell, please. Bell, please. Thank you.
She's smoking hot. And Australian, so at least you know the accents will be good. So if you are into big man-eating rogue crocodiles...
Who is it?
Then please enjoy. Also opening this weekend in wide release is Baby Mama.
Oh.
Tina Fey stars as a career-driven single woman who needs to have a baby. So she finds a surrogate mother. But wait, she finds the worst possible surrogate mother in the world.
Does hilarity ensue?
It does, because they're so different, Bean, these two women.
They're not the same?
They're very different. They're an odd couple, you might say.
I bet they have to live together and much conflict ensues.
They do, and boy, does Amy Poehler pee in her sink and make her crazy. But I bet they'd come to love each other at the end.
And learn an important lesson.
When the baby comes and they get an important lesson,
I know how retarded this is, and I'm just going to say that Tina Fey's got a pretty good track record, and I want to give her the benefit of the doubt that it could be good.
Okay.
And I don't.
Let's take a listen with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler in a scene from Baby Mama where they're in therapy together. How about that?
I just like to say that Kate is always up in my business.
Well, when someone falls asleep with a curling iron in their hair, it becomes necessary to insert yourself in their business.
That happened 2 times.
Bean?
Look, wow. I'm not going to defend every line or every scene. I'm just saying that Tina Fey wrote and started Mean Girls, and it was great, and I love her 30 Rock show. And
I don't believe she wrote this movie.
She did.
She did write it? Well, then she should go straight to hell.
Well, I am fearful of this one as well, Rob.
But she fell asleep with a curling iron in her hair, Bean, twice.
Twice, I know.
That's funny.
I accept your scorn.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying I'm going to see it. I'm not saying I'm going to see it. I'm just saying I think there's a possibility it could be good.
Well, they sure are different. And, you know, if you're going to hire someone to carry your child and you find out she's a nutloaf, you go ahead anyway.
Absolutely.
Because that's who you want in your life for 9 months is some nutloaf. All right, let's move on, shall we? Deal also opens today. This is about the hard-bitten world of professional poker players.
Deal or no deal?
I say no deal. It stars Burt Reynolds.
What?
Yes.
Did you say Burt Reynolds?
Burt Reynolds plays an ex-gambler who teaches a hotshot college kid played by Brett Harrison, who I like a lot. He's from Reaper.
He's the lead in Reaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About how to play poker. But then the two of them find each other in the same tournament, and they have to face off against each other. So will the student beat the teacher, or will the teacher beat the student?
Don't care.
This movie strikes me as something that should have come out about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like an exploitation film of something that was hot, you know?
I'd rather watch the World Series of Poker on ESPN, I think, than watch Burt Reynolds play cards. Here's a little scene. Here's a collection of edited scenes together from Deal.
A little different than playing on the internet, huh, son?
You got a lot of potential. I think you could have done a lot better.
What are you talking about? I flopped the set.
You missed your flush. I haven't played a game of cards in 20 years. I lost everything. My wife told me if I quit, she'd stay.
What do you have in mind?
$1 million payouts. I'll cover the buy-ins. We split the winnings 50-50.
What's the catch?
You gotta listen to me.
Oh, see?
Wow.
Yeah.
The old-timer's gonna teach the new kids some tricks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you wanna watch a great movie about poker, go rent The Cincinnati Kid with Steve McQueen, one of the great poker movies of all time.
I've never seen that.
Oh, really? You would love it. Coming out today also is Deception with Ewan McGregor and Hugh Jackman. And other people with Hugh in their name. apparently, McGregor plays a meek and mild accountant who is introduced to a mysterious sex club by his new lawyer friend, Hugh Jackman. Apparently, where people get together and just have random sex with each other. I want to know where these clubs exist and how
As
do I get my membership card. Here, Ewan McGregor gets the rules of the club explained to him.
No rough stuff. No business talk. And no names. Right. How did you get into this? A friend of mine. Would he introduce you to the list and fail to explain the basics? Well, he had to leave town. Look, I'm doing something wrong here, aren't I? It's not that. It's just that you strike me as something of a stowaway. If it wasn't for the $4,000 suit, I'd say you didn't belong here at all.
See, it's a mysterious anonymous sex club.
Yeah.
But then, Hugh McGregor finds out that he's actually implicated in a woman's murder.
Oh, no, he didn't.
The woman he slept with in the anonymous sex club.
Deal or no deal?
I think it looks good. I know it sounds preposterous, but I like these actors a lot, and I would give it a shot. But the movie we're all most looking forward to this weekend is Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay. John Cho, Cal Penn, Neil Patrick Harris. The plot? Well, who cares what the plot is? These guys get stoned a lot and run around and have wacky misadventures. Here is a scene from the movie where Harold and Kumar are getting a ride from Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil, can you just focus on driving? You have... Focus on the road. You've had dozens of shrooms, my friend.
Dude, I was able to perform an appendectomy at age 14. I think I can handle a couple mushrooms.
Isn't that just a TV show?
Did you see that unicorn?
There are many greats in the world of motocross. And make no mistake, Jeremy McGrath has earned his spot as one of them.
Jeremy McGrath brings this crowd alive!
Number two, Jeremy McGrath. It's the return of the king.
And McGrath takes the victory!
Championship Off-Road Racing 2008 season kickoff is this weekend at the Fairplex in Pomona. We have been giving away tickets all this week on K-Rock. In fact, we have more for you in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, how about the man of the hour, Jeremy McGrath, joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. What's up?
How's it going, man?
Oh, just trying to get some stuff ready, getting heading up that way to the Pomona, and shoot, man, looking forward to it.
Explain to people what Championship Off-Road Racing is. I just saw a video of this the first time yesterday, and I think I need to do it.
Yeah, no. Everybody needs to do it. It's amazing. The trucks are like 900 horsepower. You jump like 120 feet in the air on the track, door to door. You're slamming guys. I mean, it's an adrenaline rush.
It's basically basically like a motocross track with jumps and everything, but you're going in cars.
Yeah,
or trucks.
Yeah, I look at it as like supercross in a truck. Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this, Jeremy?
This is my first full season, so I'm kind of a rookie. But the last few years, I've been racing a couple races here and there. Three races last year for Baldwin, and this year I finally got a full time seat. So I'm psyched.
I was so surprised when we heard you were coming on to find out that the Core Racing has been around for 25 years. And it right now, I mean, this is, maybe I'm just retarded, but it seems like with you getting into the sport and events like the one happening this weekend in Pomona, it seems like it's just now kind of getting to the point where people have really heard of it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of got a resurgence, you know? Like, they've been doing it a lot in the Midwest for the 4 or 5 years ago, and now Jim got Championship Off-Road Racing, brought it out to California, and it's kind of, I mean, it's a new thing. And like this week in our Class Pro 2, we have 35 trucks signed up. So it's action-packed for sure. And you guys just hearing about it in California is kind of a good thing. We're trying to pump it up here.
Now, some of the NASCAR drivers are in it as well, or no?
I don't know. I mean, there's some guys. Last year, there was some celebrity guys racing. Like, Paul Shetty came out and did it. I was doing it a little bit. And then, Robbie Gordon was driving a little bit.
So you go for 15 minutes at a shot? Is that the deal?
Yeah, we have the cool thing about the race is it's a 16-lap race. Which, you know, takes about a half an hour because there's carnage everywhere. And the middle of the race, we throw a competition yellow, which is cool because it groups everybody back up for that last seven laps.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, it's like Supercross in a truck, except for you got 32 guys, you know, door to door. I mean, parts are flying off. It's amazing. Have you seen
Supercross, that first turn after the start, everybody kind of bunches up into a group, and somebody always wipes out. Now they're doing it with trucks, which is awesome because they're all racing for the first turn. What are the rules as far as crashing? Can you bump somebody else and it's no problem?
Yeah. No, yeah, you can totally bump somebody. However, you cannot just wreck them off the track. I mean, good, clean, bumping, rubbing, racing kind of thing is all good. You go ahead and take someone off the track or knock them off the berm or whatever, you can get black flagged, but you can rough some guys up pretty good without getting in trouble.
This is Jeremy McGrath, by the way, that's on the line, who we always enjoy talking to on K-Rock, talking about the CORE 2008 season kickoff at the Fairplex in Pomona. And by the way, it's going to be on the Speed Network and also on NBC. I guess NBC is going to have it next month. They're going to be showing some of these CORE races. So, I mean, you talk about getting into the public stream of consciousness. I mean, that you've made it.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're trying to do good with the series. We're getting a lot of TV. Last year we had a bunch of races on NBC. This year we have a 8-race season starting this weekend in Pomona, of course. We have one race a month. Our next race is May 17th in Prim, Nevada, our state line there. So, I mean, as far as TV stuff, we're getting it done. Going to be good.
No kidding. Now, you, of course, rode a motorcycle all those years. And when you hit a jump, you kind of got, it's kind of like second nature for you. It was nothing in a motorcycle. Is it different in a truck? Does it feel a lot more scary or no?
It's a little bit different because it's a little wider. But, I mean, these trucks have amazing suspension and so much power that you can do things with the truck, with the throttle, similar to how you can do it with the motorcycle. So, I mean, it's not scary. I mean, the scariest thing is maybe just making sure you're lined up for the jump. If you go off kind of sideways, you can wreck bad in these things, but overall it's not been too hard. A lot of the stuff I've always learned on my bike throughout the years crosses right over into truck racing.
Now, is it true that you're going to try a backflip this weekend?
No. I wouldn't even attempt that on my motorcycle, and I know what I'm doing that.
Okay. How boring must it be for you, Jeremy, to get in the car and drive down to the Olive Garden on a Thursday night? I mean, that just must... You must feel so pokey when you're not on a track, when you have to drive with the rest of us.
You know what? You get in the mood. I mean, you get in the mode. When you're driving... 65 on the freeway, you're just driving, and then when you get in the truck, that's when the horns come out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. How about, do the trucks sometimes go upside down? I mean, when you're up in the air like that, is it possible that they could flip all the way around? Does that happen?
Well, we hope not, right? Yeah, no, not front to back, like not doing a flip or anything like that. You can get them sideways and land, and then they roll. So, I mean, you can tip them over really easy.
That's unbelievable. Now, you said there are 32 trucks racing in this particular race?
Yeah, it's an opener, and we got 32 to 35 guys signed up for Pro 2 this weekend, and it's going to be an amazing show.
Out of those 32, how many will be in accidents?
I'd say 20.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. Anything over half, I'm in on. That sounds good.
Oh, yeah. The percentages are good for getting upside down or getting into someone.
Hey, here's all you need to know. When Jeremy first started explaining the weekend to us, he used the word carnage. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the tip right there.
It is.
Well, you know, everyone loves action in your face. I mean, there's dirt slinging in your face, and then you're going to get the carnage, and fans love that too.
Well, it sounds like a very cool event. If you think you've seen it all, but you haven't seen this yet, you got to check out the Fairplex in Pomona. You can go to corracing.com, and that's C-O-R-R, which stands for Championship Off-Road Racing. 2008 season kickoff is going to be at the Fairplex in Pomona. Sounds like a lot. That's, yeah. That's,
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that he's here, though.
I know.
That's the guy that's doing the thing with the deal.
With the breakfast.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at KROQ 106.7 KROQ 756. I'm always excited when I see an accordion warming up, getting ready to go on the stage. Breakfast with Jack Johnson right after the news. First, Ralph's here with the showbiz beat for a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
That's because you always think Weird Al's going to show up when you see an accordion. That's
hey,
why
you never
get excited.
Know, man.
That's
he may. Why. You never know.
He's about the only one.
Is there a reconciliation in the offing between Britney Spears and Kevin Federline?
God, I hope so.
Oh, me too. Star Magazine's reporting that the couple shared an intimate kiss when they traded off kids the other day. He was picking them up from Britney, and while they were spending some time together, reportedly they started macking a little bit.
Hmm. Interesting.
Kevin reportedly asked, is it appropriate to do in front of the children? To which Britney responded, we have children? So there's speculation now that maybe they're starting to rekindle their romance, which I think we're all hoping for. Because if those kids can't make it work,
really?
Who
yeah.
can?
They give us all hope.
It would be cheaper for her to get back together with him than to continue to pay him whatever she's whatever check she's writing
out. That is
that's true.
True.
Meanwhile, Jamie's little sister, Jamie Lynn Spears, may not be the strongest mother in the world when it comes time to deliver. Star Magazine's reporting that her mother, Lynn, showed her a natural childbirth video. The 17-year-old mom-to-be reacted by throwing up.
Oh,
oh good.
Word is all the screaming blood and goop were too much for her.
No.
And she's hoping to undergo a cesarean, so she says, and I quote, she can get knocked out and wake up when it's done. I don't think that's how it works, Jamie Lynn.
No.
By the way, screaming blood and goop is going to be playing here at Coachella.
Never mind. Yeah, if you're hanging out with Julia Roberts, you may want to keep a healthy distance.
Teeth.
Well, yeah, besides her teeth.
She doesn't bite,
the vein.
Mike. Vein in the forehead.
Vein and teeth. Apparently, she's got other issues, too. The London Sun reports that Julia recently admitted that she never uses deodorant because it's just not, in her words, her thing.
Oh, good.
Glendale!
Apparently, smelling is her thing.
Just the smell is unbearable.
Yes, it is. Amy Winehouse is rapidly descending. This is the greatest story ever.
She's crazy.
The London Sun says that on top of all of her problems...
You can't even get through it, Ralph.
She's gotten extremely violent recently. Wednesday morning, she apparently went to a bar in London and punched a guy in the face because he wouldn't give up the pool table.
Well,
guess she really wanted to play.
She wanted to play.
Later that same day, she started throwing drinks and turning over tables in a London bar while she was yelling for people to get out because, and I quote, I'm a legend and I want to take drugs.
Okay.
Well, she's so being honest. Upfront about it. Yeah. I like that.
If I had a dollar for every time Kevin said that in one of our remote broadcasts.
How dare you.
And lastly, one poor sucker tried to get her into a cab and get her home when she was hammered. She thought he was trying to molest her, so she headbutted him. Police are currently investigating the issue.
She's like 4 foot eight.
Well,
I don't know if she's seen herself lately, but nobody is trying to molest her.
Yeah, no
nobody.
Kidding.
Those new photos are the best.
I know.
I don't know why I'm so tickled. This woman is obviously in dire need of some real intervention, but I don't know. I think it's funny. And lastly, this is my favorite story of the day, so I'm going to tell it once again. Gary Coleman, star of Different Strokes, apparently is having a rough patch in his six-month marriage to model Shannon Price.
That's a surprise.
The two apparently are headed for a divorce. Not just any plain old run-of-the-mill divorce, but no, they're going to appear on the syndicated TV show Divorce Court on May 1st to let the TV judge hash out their beefs with each other.
What have they been married, Ralph? About 3 months?
6 months.
6 months it's been already.
Yeah. Wow.
Shouldn't all celebrities have to go on divorce court?
Yes.
Wouldn't that just be
all celebrity divorces should be televised.
Hey, Ralph, I know we're out of time, but since we're talking about celebrity divorces, is there any truth? Do your sources confirm that Star Jones is dating Dwayne Wade?
That's the
Miami
rumor.
Heat?
That's the word on the street.
One
she's
day after
D-Wade.
She and Al are broken up, she's with D-Wade.
Yeah. There's no way.
Really?
What's he doing with her? That's
There's
just not
no
possible,
way.
Right?
Not possible.
He would. It would be not too possible. Much heat for him in the locker room to go out with Star Jones. Like, it wouldn't be worth the mocking and the hassling.
Not possible.
I would think
Charles Barkley's going to have talk to him. Talk with him. You know, set him straight.
Going to take him off his fave five.
We'll see.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. You're dating her. She's ugly.
Speaking of Gary Coleman. I got this email from listener Mark, who I really want to thank for sending this. We were talking about this supposed model wife of Gary Coleman's,
yes.
Shannon Price.
Yeah, they always call her a model.
Yeah. Dear Ralph, I thought you might get a kick out of the fact that I used to work with Gary's supposed model wife. Last year, I managed a Radio Shack in rural Utah where Gary lives. I know what you're thinking. Black midget in Utah, but yes, they do exist. She's a train wreck. I don't know who's worse. She used to walk up to random customers at the store and tell them that her mother died when she was 4.
Oh, no.
What?
The straw broke the camel's back was when she didn't show up for work 3 days straight. If you want other details, I'd be more than happy to spill it. Let's just say they deserve each other. Thanks, listener Mark. So, Mark, thanks so much for sending me that. So maybe she isn't a model so much as she is a cell phone saleswoman. Maybe she's good at getting the D batteries from the back.
That what does
sounds,
that mean?
That sounds perverse, doesn't it? I got her D batteries in the back. You know what I'm saying? Today's celebrity birthday is my buddy Al Pacino turned 68 years old today. Bjorn of ABBA is 63. Hank Azaria, many of the voices on The Simpsons. He does Apu. He does Mo the Bartender. Very talented guy. 44 years old today. Eric Avery of Jane Addiction.
Eric.
Yeah, Eric. He is 43. Gina Torres from Firefly. I think I love
listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. We're kind of backstage at Coachella. The main stage is behind us about 200 feet where Jack Johnson's going to be playing tonight, but he's here this morning for breakfast with Jack Johnson. Come on. Jack, you want to start off with a song? You want to do the Handlebars song? Or one of yours? One of yours? Okay, good.
Here's Jack on K-Rock.
Your head higher than your heart. You better hope you're not alone. You better hope you're
That's one of the great tracks from Jack Johnson, Sleep Through the Static here. First song this morning on our Breakfast with Jack Johnson. Jack is one of the few artists, I think, that we've invited back to do another breakfast with. We actually did this with Jack a few years ago. Had a great time.
Well, I think we've done it twice. It's our third breakfast with you.
I think you're right.
Fantastic.
Damn. How you been, Jack? Good to see you.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
How's the you got a Coachella vibe going on? Is this one of the festivals you look forward to? And
it is. Yeah, the lineup is pretty amazing. Kind of hard not to kill yourself and come really early and be here all day in the sun.
Especially when we make you get here this early.
Yeah, I might go back to sleep after this for a little bit. I just flew over from Hawaii, so I'm a little off on the time.
It does have to be so weird. I mean, I know you've played on a lot of bills over the years with a lot of other acts, but I mean, you're Jack Johnson, and you've got the Rockin' Tours opening for you. I mean, it's just it's bizarre. That's what's great about Coachella, I guess.
That's the problem. They ask you to headline a show, and they don't really tell you who's going to play before you.
Yeah.
If they would have come to me and said, you got Rockin' Tour and The Verve playing before you, I don't know. You know, I have to rethink maybe. It's a little... A little intimidating, but no, it'll be really fun.
Yeah. Now, you are a guy who is famous for not going out on the road for 200 days like some people do, or, you know, touring around the world for a year and a half. You pretty much pick and choose a little bit.
Yeah, we try to.
So it's kind of special if you decide to play. So you're doing this, and then you're doing Bonnaroo, I guess, out in Tennessee.
Got to check out Prince's sound check last night, too.
Oh, how was that?
That was great. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it.
Well, now might be too late to mention that.
Yeah, it was really good.
And you're going out in August for a bit, but I mean, is that about it? Do you take most of the year off from touring?
Yeah, we try to, if we tour for a month, we try to take a month off at least, and then try to build in some off days if we're somewhere kind of nice, you know, or somewhere near the coast. And places like Barcelona, take a couple days off there, little things like that. I don't know. You got anything to add?
Do you just curl up in a fetal position and die if you can't see the ocean?
No. I do get what my wife kind of compares to PMS if there's 2 weeks.
Oh, you thought you were grouchy?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, yeah. Just slight. But no, I like the ocean, but I don't mind going away from it for a few weeks at a time.
Yeah, yeah. I was a little surprised you're kind of overdressed for this event today. You're in long pants, dude.
It was cold this morning.
What happened? It seemed like a formal event when Jack John. I mean, God, thank God you're not wearing shoes, but still the long pants, they threw me a little bit.
I got my JJ casuals on.
Exactly. By the way, we are going to be getting to your questions. These are Jack Johnson fans who have worked very hard in the last week to win the tickets here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, they have.
They all had to jump through hoops. In fact, Jack, you won't believe some of the things that people had to do to win these tickets that we'll be explaining to you later on. And I think the audience knows what I'm talking about. Sleep Through the Static is the current album that's in stores. It's been another big seller for you. But a lot of people, it seemed like, were really surprised by this record when it came out. A lot of people who thought they knew what Jack Johnson was all about heard this and thought, wow, this is going into different territory. Did it feel that way to you, too?
Not really. I mean, there's a little more electric guitar, but it feels kind of the same. I don't know. We never really get in the studio and have some master plan. We just kind of record the songs that I've written that last couple years, and feels kind of the same. Are you sure you've read the same reviews?
I read a lot of them. I mean, a lot of people were not just talking about the electric guitar, but they were also talking about some of the themes, some of the topics of things that you write about. Of course, you know, you can't help but being influenced by wife and kids and stuff like that. But I mean, there's one song on there that people say is Iraq influence, and some of the other things they hadn't seen from you before.
And we can play that one for you if you want. But no, it's there's always different things going on. I mean, the first record, I was just out of college, and a lot of the songs I'd written while at school. And then you have, I had babies. My wife had babies.
Right.
I helped anything I could do. And so then I had a record or two that were at that time in my life, and then. Then you start teaching them how to swim, and all of a sudden they're swimming off from you. And so the song's about that, letting go. I get real sappy. My kids are only 2 and 4, and I'm already writing songs about letting them go.
Yeah. You know you're not supposed to let them go right now.
I know.
Are they surfing Pipeline yet?
Almost. Next year, yeah.
All right.
What were you, like 5 when you started surfing?
Yeah, when I started.
And
my first board, I remember it was Christmas. When I was 5 years old, I got this board, and I was so excited. But then I looked at it, and I was like, wait a minute. That's my brother Petey's board. And I looked. It was Christmas. My brother had a brand new board, and I had the board that he had yesterday.
A hand-me-down for Christmas?
But at 5 years old, I didn't care. They put stickers. I remember they put all these flashy kind of neon stickers all over the bottom to try to make it look different. You know, it was just my brother's board.
Well, we've got plenty more things to talk to Jack about. We've got questions.
Try something new for breakfast.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Jack Johnson.
World famous K-Rock.
23 after 8, Jack Johnson is here. It's Coachella time, and Jack is going to be, of course, headlining tonight at Coachella, and we are doing breakfast this morning.
Super whore Alex in the audience this morning.
Hi, guys.
With our Jack Johnson fans. They have been, I guess, submitting questions all week long, and you picked some that want to talk to Jack.
I did, and I think I actually have our winner first. This is Laura from Pasadena.
All right.
Hi.
Hey, hi, Laura.
Hi, Zach. this is basically, I have a tattoo of the lyrics, and though you've got to go, we'll keep a piece of your soul. One goes out, one comes in. Oh, just because it, I don't know, it had personal meaning for me. And so I was wondering, when you create a song for personal reasons and then other people derive their own meanings out of it, does that change the meaning of the song for you? Or, and if so, how?
Yeah, no, in a good way. I've talked to people. Well, first, thanks. I mean, not that you need a thanks, but that's it's kind of interesting to hear, because Zach and I actually kind of stole some of those words from a conversation Zach and I had in New York walking around the streets one time, and we were talking about what happens to a soul after somebody passes, and we were thinking of soul compost is what we started talking about.
Like, good times.
Good times. Good times. But anyway, so that's where that one goes out, one comes in kind of thing. Yeah, sometimes talking to people, and it's interesting that the song will mean something completely different to them, and the song grows sometimes in a positive way. I'll like the meaning that comes from somebody else, and sometimes I'll actually start thinking about that when I play the song or what it means to other people, and so yeah, it does change the meaning in a positive way most of the times.
Have you ever been shocked by somebody's interpretation of your song, and you go, what are you talking about? That's nothing what I meant.
Yeah, no, there's a song... Mud Football, first thing that comes to mind is driving a padiddle, which is a car that has one headlight.
Right.
But a lot of people think I say I'm driving a potato. Driving a potato and a burnt out fuse.
You might as well just sing that then.
Yeah. Do you run into a fair amount of people, Jack, like Laura, who get Jack Johnson related tattoos? Is that commonplace?
No, I was going to say that's the first time I've ever met somebody that did.
No so kidding. How about that?
How about that?
That's awesome. Thank you for coming, Laura. Alex, who's next?
We got Danny from Woodland Hills.
All right, I'm a fellow gaucho here. First off, I got to say I'm disappointed that there's no banana pancakes at this breakfast.
Yeah. Well.
The question is, since everyone always talks about you being the most mellow rock star, I want to know, what does make you flip out?
What makes me flip out? Well, one time that guy Michael over there with the glasses on dropped a drum on my toe.
So just pain.
I got upset. Yeah, physical pain.
Bad and bad waves.
Only physical. Yeah, bad waves, not even so much. You can still go swimming. So.
I was reading in a biography about you that used to be in a party band. I got to be honest. I don't see you as a party band guy.
They're really mellow parties. I'm just kidding. No, we were Zach and I actually went to college. We met when we were 18 years old, and he had one band, and they're actually still together. They're called the Animal Liberation Orchestra, or ALO now. And but back then they were called Django. They've gone through about five different names since then, and. My band was called Soil, and we would have we play on the same nights, and it was kind of ALO's playing tonight. We have to get like another keg at the party, and then it would be like these whoever could get more kegs at the party would kind of get a bigger crowd.
And what kind of music did you do as Soil?
We did it was mostly originals. I'd write a lot of the songs. I wasn't singing at that point. My friend Jason was singing.
You didn't do like Brick House or
no
they
like
funky that. Music.
Hey, not that kind of party. Real
right.
Real party.
Okay. All right.
Jack, it's even the Rolling Stone cover story recently said you're the world's mellowest superstar. Is that does that bother you that people point that out so much, or do you consider it a compliment, or is it not accurate?
I don't know what I think.
Oh,
about
it's accurate.
Because I mean, I don't know anyone else who's known as mellow. I mean, you're it. You're the poster child for mellow, and I think it's the coolest.
Zach's
I mean,
pretty mellow.
Jack's kind of mellow, yeah,
Zach's,
he is. But I mean,
he's hardly said anything.
I think a lot of us would love to have, I mean, you have, and I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if it's a spiritual thing or what, but you do seem to have just some sort of level of Zen comfort. It just seems like you're, like, take it as it comes kind of
attitude. I don't know what to do about it. To be honest, it's my way. Usually in interviews, I'm really nervous, and you don't want to say too much, you know, because you're so nervous. So I come off as mellow, I guess. I'm actually just really nervous inside. I'm not that mellow. I just
are you?
Just sound mellow. Like, I don't
are
know.
You high?
I hit my head really hard. No answer. No, no, I'm not high right now.
Just check it.
All right, let's right do. Well, we got a bunch of questions, but we got time for another song right now. First, I think you got something you want to play for us here, Mr. Johnson.
Breakfast with Jack Johnson, live on K-Rock from Coachella.
This is the song you're referring to earlier. It's kind of just something I wrote down one time. It's probably the fastest song I ever wrote. It's called Sleep Through the Static, this one. Drug travels fast, specially designed for crash testing. Wear wool sunglasses in the afternoon. Come on and tell us what you're trying to prove. Cause it's a battle when you dabble in war. You store it up on a leash and then you piece it together. Weather the storm drain on the ground that you stand. Zephyr to somebody who's pretending to care. Just cash in your blanks for little toy tanks that I'm using and abusing. Choose a whole conversation. Relationships are overrated. I hated everyone, said the sun. So I will cook all your books into a look at them mistake. Watch it instead from the comfort of your burning bed. Sleep through the static. Who needs sleep when we've got love? Who needs keys when we've got gloves? Who needs keys when we've got guns? About it too much, allowed it to touch the feelings of rain down on the plains, all dry and cracked, waiting for things that never came. A shocking, awful thing to make somebody think that they have to choose, pushing for peace, supporting the truth, and even the weak you use brute force. The truth is, we say not as we do. We say anytime, anywhere to show your teeth. Fear of God wears camouflage, cries at night, drives a dodge. Pick up the beat, stop hogging the feast. That's the way to treat an enemy. Mighty, mighty appetite, we just eat them up and keep on driving. Freedom can be freezing, take a picture from the pretty sun. Mind your manners, wave your banners for the wonderful world that this people can see. But who needs to see what we've done? Who needs keys when we've got gloves? Got guns. Who needs peace when we've got a bow? Beyond where we should have gone. Beyond where we should have gone. Beyond where we should have gone.
Breakfast time! What? Come and get your breakfast on!
Now eat it!
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Jack Johnson.
We're live, of course, this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 FM, KROQ. Also around the world at KROQ.com. You're watching and listening to Breakfast with Jack Johnson. Let's hear it for Jack for getting up early this morning. He's headlining Coachella tonight, a couple hundred yards to our right here. Before we go back to the crowd, here's an email question for you, Jack. Daniel writes in, have you ever been asked to leave a store due to a no shirt, no shoes, no service policy?
Nope.
Okay.
I can't remember.
All right. Alex in the crowd. Who's next, please?
Can we turn on her mic? There you go.
Thank you. All right. What's up, party people? Actually, Danielle would lose because she's barefoot right now.
Okay.
She's more casual than Jack. Got Danielle from Garden Grove.
Hi. Hey, I love surfing, and I've been surfing since I was 10, so I was just wondering, what was your worst surfing experience?
Probably the time I knocked all my teeth out.
And
got about 150 stitches across my head.
That tends to do it, right?
You were my lip. That was a bummer.
14?
I was 17.
17?
That was shocking.
Yeah, knocking out your teeth.
Yeah, but it put me out of the water for 2 months, which was a real drag.
That still hurts to hear you describe it that way. I got to be honest. Did your face hit a rock? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I hit the reef. Actually, there was a little chunk of coral stuck in my skull they had to kind of work on for a while to get out.
Mm.
And it was, yeah.
What's the biggest wave you ever surfed, Jack?
106 feet.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, no
what
way.
The hell?
I thought that was so out of the range that everybody would laugh. You know, everybody's like, whoa.
We thought like 85 was about as big as they get, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't surf. I mean, I surf somewhat big. I'm not one of those guys you see. You know, Laird Hamilton and those guys.
Right.
My brothers grew up with him. I mean, he was like an older brother when I was young. He used to be around. This guy, Laird Hamilton, I don't know if you've heard of him.
We know Laird, yeah. Sure.
He's pretty amazing. I'm not like one of those guys.
Yeah.
They're crazy.
Will you have time to do more surf movies? Is that something you can see keeping your feet in the water, so to speak?
You know, I love making those, but they were... I'd much rather go and just surf than actually have to bring a camera and film.
You are the laziest man I've ever seen. I love that.
It was fun, but it was hard because I grew up surfing all the time. I started learning how to... I went to school for film, and I started thinking... Okay, I'm never going to make surf movies. I don't want to stand and have to film my friends, you know, while they're having fun.
Sure.
And then I got into it, and it was actually pretty cool. But then now when I get to go on a surf trip, I just rather not have to stand on the beach anymore.
I gotcha.
But you never know. I might make another one down the line.
Alex, who's next, please?
Taylor from Monrovia.
Hi. My question for you is, who's an artist that you would like to work with in the future?
Maybe Greg Brown. There's a guy named Greg Brown who writes these really amazing songs. Not sure where he's from exactly. Somewhere out in the Midwest, maybe Iowa or Minnesota. Mason Jennings would know. Is he from Minnesota?
None of us know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I tend to divert sometimes. But it's he's a great songwriter. His love songs are some of the best love songs I've ever heard.
Yeah. Where did you hear him?
Greg Brown. My friend Janella Fox. She turned me on to him. She's turned me on to Ben Harper, Greg Brown. A lot of my favorite musicians. He's kind of passed me along a CD.
Your pal Eddie Vedder, who I know you're a fan of his music, and you guys are surfing buddies too. Is he a guy you could collaborate with?
Yeah, we already have a bit live at least. Mm-hmm. He came and played at this festival we put on in Hawaii every year. He came last year, and we did some songs together. And I got to play bass in his band for that set. That was pretty fun. We did a couple of Pearl Jam covers and a couple of old punk songs and stuff.
I didn't get a chance to see his recent solo tour. We gave away tickets to on our show, but apparently it's just sick. Some of the covers and stuff he's doing, apparently it's just so much fun.
Yeah,
Eddie Vedder going out there solo for the first time.
He's really fun to see live. I mean, I love Pearl Jam, and it's also a great show when he does it alone, too.
Sure. Hey, speaking of rocking, I know, you know, just from reading a little bit about you, that, you know, like a lot of people, you listen to the hard rock music when you were a teenager, the Black Sabbath and bands like that and stuff. Are there bands like that that you still love that would surprise us? I mean, like a group like the Raconteurs, is that somebody you would be really into today?
Oh, yeah. I love the Raconteurs. I love White Stripes, Radiohead. I like just about anything, you know. I mean, it's...
Did you ever rock hard in any of the incarnations of music that you played over the years?
Yeah, I used to be in a cover band that did all Minor Threat and Fugazi, Bad Religion.
I think we're going to have to hear some of that. I think we need to hear.
Let's see. How's that one? We're not the first. It's too high for me to sing. How about that? See, I didn't sing in that band. I was just the guitar player.
Come on, man.
You have to scream it. That's the thing.
We're about to get a mosh pit going here, yeah. Jack.
Now, we don't want you to blow out your voice before tonight.
Yeah, don't make it be our fault.
You know, the one song I used to sing was... I can't sing it on the air, though. It was "You're Effing With Me Subliminally." That, yeah. Suicidal Tendencies.
Right. Yeah. Right, exactly. That's fantastic. Did you ever go through a phase where you get your Hendrix records out and you just try to shred the guitar?
Yeah, definitely. It's Hendrix is one of the reasons I wanted to start playing guitar.
Sure. How could you not, right?
Yeah,
all right, let's do another question, then Jack's going to play another tune for us. It's Breakfast with Jack Johnson on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Who's next, Alex?
Rob from West Covina.
Hey, Jack, good morning.
Good morning.
You have a huge fan base, very loyal, and they'd probably follow you forever. So my question is, 20 years from now, do you see yourself still recording music and performing live?
That's a tough question. Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm going to probably after this tour, we'll end, I think, in August after that tour, and then take a year off. I kind of promised myself I'd never put out records unless I had songs. I'd never try to write songs to put out a record just for that reason. So I don't know. We'll have to just see. Yeah, sorry, I can't give you a better answer. That's I just have no idea.
You have to feel so grateful for the way you've been able to set up your situation where you don't have a record company guy who's calling you up every Friday going, what do you got? What do you got? What do you got?
Yeah, I do. It's that guy.
How you doing?
Josh Nakoch right there with the beard.
Yeah, shaking his head no.
And Emmett Malloy over there with the little hat on.
Sons of bitches.
No, they're like my they're my best friends, too.
All right. Let the man relax.
They don't really. They're good.
All right. You got the band on stage with you here, Coachella 2008. Jack Johnson headlining tonight, doing breakfast this morning. What do you want to play for us next, Jack?
We're going to try one of my friend Zach here. And when you talked about the band waking up early, we actually waited around the lobby for the bass player, but he never showed up. So the whole band didn't wake up early. But this is one by my friend Zach Gill right here.
Can we get that machine to stop backing up? Really, all that beeping. Hey!
It's part of the song.
Stop it! All right, go ahead.
This is a kind of a creepy song to play this early in the morning. It's called Girl, I Want to Lay You Down. Techno remix. The truck sound.
I come over early in the morning. I'm like a heat wave without warning. And when I touch you, my heart begins to flutter. 'Cause you're smooth and creamy like peanut butter. Girl, I wanna lay you down.
Yeah.
Girl, I wanna lay you down. I'm gonna flood you like a love river. Our baby, the postman, is about to deliver. I'll cook you up some dinner, a little pasta. We'll listen to some music, a little Rasta. Some girl, I wanna lay you down. Some girl, I wanna lay.
The accordions you had on the Kevin and Bean show.
All the people in their cars
thinking the sexy thoughts.
Driving down the Santa Ana, whatever that's called. I don't know, I'm from Santa Barbara. We don't have freeways there. We just have the one, the 101.
Turn out the lights, bring out the candles, wrap your arms around my love handles. They say the passion may not always endure, but this feeling that I have for you is burning up my world. Girl, I wanna lay you down. So girl, I wanna lay you down. I said,
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
like you to meet Breakfast.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Jack Johnson.
The world famous K-Rock.
This is, of course, just the kickoff of the big Coachella weekend at krock.com. You can watch performances all weekend long through the website starting at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Actually, a little before 3 is when they're going to air this breakfast. You can see the breakfast that we're in the middle of right now with Jack Johnson this afternoon on the computer. Hey, Jack Johnson?
Hey.
Remember I told you a little while ago you're not going to believe some of the things that our listeners went through to get tickets?
I remember that.
I'd like you to meet our friends Rob and Christy over here. Good morning, you guys. Rob, real quick, tell Jack what it is you called and told us yesterday on the show.
Do we have to?
Yeah, you have to.
I'm so scared right now.
Would you rather I told him?
Yes, please.
All right, I'll tell him. He called up and he said, I'm really trying hard to win tickets to see Jack Johnson at the Breakfast, but if I can get these tickets, my girlfriend will allow backdoor activity.
What?
She'll flip over. So, and we said, and we didn't trust him, so we got her on the phone, and we said, are you telling us that that's the case? And she said yes. Christy, did you deliver?
I sure did.
Yeah! And that's why you're standing. And that's why you're sitting. So, now that you're here and you're seeing it, is it worth it?
Was
it?
Yes, it is.
It was worth it.
I cried when I got here.
You cried last night,
not
too?
Not yet.
Come to think of it. All right.
It's an emotional weekend. What can I say?
Did you have a question for Jack as well?
I'd not like to play you a song about my children.
I know.
Well, I couldn't make any last
night.
Way to dirty
a beautiful occasion, Christy. Thank you very much. Thanks to Rob, too. We appreciate it. We're glad you guys were able to make it. So, all right. Who's our next question for Mr. Johnson?
We actually have a girl from your neck of the woods being April from Edmonds, Washington. She went on a trip here.
Hi, April. How are you?
Good.
What do you got?
Hi.
Let's change the subject. Sure.
Yeah. Jack, you didn't seem happy with that story.
You guys are disturbed.
Yeah. Sorry, dude.
I grew up on Maui and Molokai, and so I was wondering what some of your favorite surf places are.
This is a trick question because I always can't really say the ones that I really like a lot.
Because people will go there?
That, and then the locals won't let me surf there anymore either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You blow it for them.
Yeah. So I like Pipeline. It's already been discovered. No, there's a lot of great spots all around. I like to surf a lot, but I actually do like Pipeline a lot. It just gets a little too crowded.
Yeah.
So I'll say that's about. I'll talk to you after the show.
Okay. How's Australia?
Australia's great. We love it there. That's about our favorite place to tour because every city is pretty much on the coast. And so we don't really do sound checks anymore too much, you know, so we just kind of have to show up for dinner time and the show, and we can just spend all day doing whatever. So Australia, we get to surf and play music every night. It's pretty fun.
Right. When you're growing up in Hawaii, by the way, do you get the sense that you're so separated? I mean, do you get the island fever? Are you dying to go to the mainland when you're on Hawaii all the time, or do you grow into this is just the universe that I live in and nothing else matters outside of these islands?
A little of each, you know. I think when I was 18, I was pretty excited to come over to the mainland and check it all out. Before that, it never really even occurred to me. And then once I got a taste of realizing you could do road trips that were further than 1 hour away from your house, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, I bet. All right, who's next? Looks like we got a ukulele player next,
this,
Alex.
This smiling gentleman is Gabe from La Mirada.
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, Jack. Hey, good. How are you?
Good.
I was wondering if you could sign my uke.
Heck yeah.
All right, man.
How about that?
Do we call it a uke now?
We do.
That's the easiest question all day.
Yeah. Jack, how young were you when you started playing the ukulele?
Kindergarten.
They
put them in your hands in kindergarten over there.
It is. Don't you think that it is it's a misunderstood instrument for a lot of people? They don't realize how versatile and beautiful it can be.
I think so. Yeah, I agree.
You
remember those recorders? You know how most kids. Thank you. You know how most kids are given the kind
sort of plastic,
the plastic
things. Yeah,
that's like the ukulele of Hawaii.
Oh, is that right?
You know, we do the same thing with those. Everybody kind of gets them. You make a bunch of noise.
But do you know how to play it at some point? I mean,
it goes further beyond that. It's been in kindergarten. It's the
that's how it starts.
Yeah, it's I love playing it. We play it during our set. We'll play it tonight at the show. And it's a beautiful instrument.
It is. I was. I don't know if you're a Jimmy Rogers fan of the country western Jimmy Rogers star, but he was shredding on the ukulele in the 1920s. For God's sakes, yeah. He was making it sing. You know.
Yeah, they're great.
Can you shred on a ukulele? Yes, you can.
You can shred on a ukulele.
As a matter of fact, you can. Okay. All right. What do you want to play for us next, Jack?
Well, if I ask you this question, if somebody said you get to play in front of thousands and thousands of radio listeners. Wouldn't you bring a couple of your best friends up and let them play their songs too?
Absolutely.
So I got my friend Mason Jennings here, and both these guys have records coming out. I'm just plugging my good friends. And so in a couple of weeks, both these guys, Zach Gill and Mason, have their own records. So we're going to play a song that I love. The first time I heard it, I just got real excited. And we did it together on Mason's new record, and it's called I Love You and Buddha Too.
I love you, and I love Buddha too, Rama, Krishna, Guru, Dev, Dade, Jing, and Muhammad. Why do some people say that there is just one way to love you, God, and come to you? We are all a part of you. You are unnameable, you are unknowable. All we have is metaphor, that's what time and space are for. Is the universe your thought? You are and you are not. You are many, you are one, ever ending, just begun, all right. Alright, alright, I love you and Buddha too. Oh Jesus, I love you, and I love Buddha too. Rama, Krishna, Guru, Dev, Dali, Jing, and Muhammad. Why do some people say that there is just one way to love you, God, and come to you? We are all a part of you, alright. Alright,
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 I love you and Buddha too, alright. I love you and Buddha too. Oh Jesus, I love you, and I love Buddha too. Rama, Krishna, Guru, Dev, Dade, Jing, and Muhammad. Why do some people say that there is just one way to love you, God, and come to you? We are all a part of you. You are unnameable, you are unknowable. All we have is metaphor, that's what time and space are for. Is the universe your thought? You are and you are not. You are many, you are one, ever ending, just begun, alright.
Alright,
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 alright.
I love you and Buddha too, alright.
Alright,
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 alright.
I love you and Buddha too, and Buddha too.
Breakfast with Jack Johnson.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 KROQ FM HD1 Pasadena, Los Angeles. LA and OC's only new rock. The world famous K-Rock.
I'm hearing a big voice from the sky.
Yeah, I think that's the main stage.
Oh, is that what it is they're setting up?
Audio check, yeah.
We're here at Coachella today. Jack Johnson's going to be headlining, of course. He's the Friday night headliner. You got your Prince on your Saturday night, and then Roger Waters is Sunday night. It's a big 3 days of music. If you missed the announcement earlier, they are sold out for single-day tickets for Friday and for Saturday. You can still get single-day tickets for Sunday, and you can still buy a pass for all 3 days. You can go to Coachella.com to get all those details. However, Jack is doing a breakfast with us on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning ahead of his appearance tonight. Billboard Magazine, Jack, has just named you the greenest musician of the last 12 months. Along with some of our friends, including Serj Tankian on the list, Dave Matthews, Pearl Jam, Serj Tankian, all on the list. What does it mean to be a green musician? What are you doing?
We come from Mars. And green. No, we do a festival in Hawaii that's a fundraiser called the Kokua Hawaii Foundation. It's or the festival's the Kokua Festival. It raises money for... Hey, how's it going?
That's not going to be
that
at all distracting.
That is not me.
No, that's the main stage.
But, you know, it raises money for environmental education in Hawaii. And we just try to lessen the impact of the tour. I mean, it's a big footprint. You know, tours leave when we do these music tours. So we just try to lessen it as much as we can and work with nonprofit groups in every town that we go to. So money from every show we play goes to a local and national nonprofit groups across the states or anywhere in the world we play.
I was surprised to read that the environmental movement came a little late to Hawaii. You would think it would be so in touch with having nature so close to it that they would have been very concerned about it way early on, but not the case, I guess.
Yeah, people are concerned about it. It's just we're up against different challenges, being disconnected from the rest of the country. So a lot of our food is shipped in, you know, just to just to get the food there. I mean, you're burning a lot of energy just to get it there. And the recycling, there's no you know, facilities on the island and everything. So everything has to be shipped out. It's going to be recycled and things like that. So we have certain challenges. But I think there's a lot of potential there with all the solar and wind and wave energy possibilities. And so I think the future will be cool.
And you were able to make your recording studio in California solar-powered as well, right?
Yeah, my friends Emmett and Josh and the record label we have, that we have a bunch of artists on the label, and the recording studio has solar, so that's...
Has there been any downside to that? I mean, any problems with hiccups where it doesn't provide everything you need for power?
Nah, it works great. Yeah, we have in Hawaii, we have the studio I did most of my records, that one's solar powered too. And
how about that?
So nice. You can't record when it's cloudy?
No, you still can. You got batteries and stuff.
All right. Charging, yeah. Now, one of the funny things, speaking of the environment, Jack, that I read in your Rolling Stone cover story recently was, and I don't know how often this happens, but the guy who was writing the article said, so Jack Johnson pees in his front yard, so why waste a gallon, I think is what you said. Is that fairly common at your house?
Yeah, don't you pee in your front yard?
Well, I got to be honest. We got the indoor plumbing now. Yeah. And
it's not so much to save. I mean, yeah, that's a perk. I guess it saves some water, but... If I'm outside, I just pee outside. You know what I mean? It's like easier than walking back inside.
All right. How many people pee outside if they just happen to be outside? Well, most of the guys.
Yeah.
Most of the guys. How about that? Yeah. We just got a memo at K-Rock from Scott Mason, who's one of our engineer guys, who's telling us to stop flushing. Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah, flush less.
Flush less, he's telling us at K-Rock. Are we supposed to put up with that?
Hell yeah. If it's yellow, it's mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
All right.
Well, I guess we've learned a little bit something here today.
Yeah. We're just hoping for better aim at K-Rock. We're not anywhere near saving money yet on water.
Unless you eat asparagus, then the rule goes out the door.
Is that right? Then you got to flush.
Then you got to flush.
You've been outspoken, and I think a lot of people that admire what you're talking about with the environment. Are you ever tempted to get into the political fray as well? I'm sure people would love you to be sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it gets political sometimes, you know, just the nature of putting your voice behind anything. Sometimes, you know, people aren't for it and some are. And but, yeah, no, I definitely like playing music, and it's nice to be able to shine the light on something more important than yourself, but I don't want to be a politician or anything, if that's what you mean.
No, I meant, you know, sometimes the artists will come out in support, or they'll, you know, rally for a candidate or something like that. Yeah. You do anything like that?
Well, I like Obama a lot. I mean, he's from Hawaii, and I really like what he stands for. And I just like hearing, you know, when he speaks, it moves me, and I think it moves a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. All right, Jack Johnson is here, krock.com. You can watch it, and, of course, you're listening to it on 106.7 FM. What do you guys want to play for us next?
We'll play... This is a song called If I Had Eyes. It came from one time my older boy was four. He was just drinking so much soy milk, and I was trying to get him to stop drinking so much soy milk, and I told him that if he kept drinking it, he was going to grow a tail.
And nice.
That it would have an eyeball on the end of the tail. And so he kind of attached his arm to his butt and started pointing it around and looking. And then he pointed it right at me. He said, Dad, you look good. So I started writing this song, and this is where it came from. But it's not really what it's about.
I hope not.
It started from there.
Okay.
If I had eyes in the back of my head, I would have told you that you look good as I walked away. If you could have tried to trust the hand that fed, you would have never been hungry, but you'd never really be. More of this or less of this, or is there any difference? Are we just holding on to things that we don't have anymore? Sometimes time doesn't heal, no, not at all. Just stand still while we fall. In or out of love again, I doubt I'm gonna win you back. You got eyes like that, won't let me in. Oh, looking at, a lot of people spend their
time just flew. We were victims together but alone. You've got hungry eyes that just can't look for. Can't give them enough, but we just can't stop. The building with Ben nails, we're falling, we're home. I don't wanna take up any more of your time. Sweet time, time, time. Sometimes time doesn't heal. No, not at all. Just stand still while we fall. In or out of love again, I doubt. I'm gonna win you back. When you got eyes like that, won't let me in. Always looking out.
Come on. That sounded great. Thanks to AT&T Blue Room for broadcasting this via the internet today. Thanks to Brushfire Records for Jack Johnson and the terrific band that's here. They're headlining Coachella tonight. How many are staying all the way through Jack's set tonight, by the way? How many are making a full day of it out here in the California sun?
Everybody but the pregnant woman. Right? You're taking her home, right, Carlos?
Seriously. We don't want that to happen on our watch, man. Jack, we can't thank you enough for stopping by today, man. It was really great.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
We really enjoyed seeing you again. Congratulations on all the success, and mahalo, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Jack Johnson, everybody. Kevin, just because we're here at Coachella broadcasting today doesn't mean we've forgotten about Beer Mug's weekly appearance as he tries to break a Guinness World Record. Good morning, Mug. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
How you feeling, dude?
Oh, fantastic. I'm ready to do this.
You should see how Mug is dressed, guys. He's got a toque on, a Canadian beanie. He's got mittens on. He's got a scarf, and he's wearing some sort of sweater. It looks like he's going to go play in the snow.
Well, there are a lot of records that we have been thinking about. There's a grilled cheese sandwich record, 47 grilled cheese sandwiches. Wow. 10 minutes. There's a donut record, 47 glazed and cream-filled donuts in 5 minutes.
Easy.
There's eggs, hard-boiled eggs. But we decided today to go with O.C. Anyanwu's record. He set this record on November 9th, 2005, and today Beer Mug is going to try to set a new record for the fastest time to drink a 17-ounce milkshake with a straw.
Eating challenges are the name of his game. He has never won one. He is super lame. He's Beer Mug. What's he gonna chug? Easter beefs or hot dogs, you know he'll never quit. K-Rock's Kevin even made him taste poor sh**.
Oh.
He's Beer Mug. What's he gonna chug?
Here's what I love about Beer Mug, by the way, is that many people, if they try and fail and then try and fail and then try and fail, start to lose some enthusiasm. Yes. Not Mug. Mug is as convinced today that he will set this record as he is every single week right before he fails.
Mama didn't raise a quitter.
He's as enthusiastic as a dog. Every time they see you, it's like they've never seen you before. He's in the studio today. He actually thinks he's going to be able to do this. Now, the record for the fastest time to drink a 17-ounce milkshake by straw is 9.8 seconds.
I drink your milkshake. Wow.
9.8 seconds.
Easy.
Now, these are custom-made shakes, Ralph. You brought in the blender?
These are homemade shakes. I'm adding the milk now.
Okay.
We're using Dreyer's Grand Ice Cream, whole milk.
All right.
And I'm going to whip this up, and then we've got a glass that is exactly 17 ounces. So I will fill the glass to the top. Mug's got a strong place. Just let me blend them up, and we'll get going, okay?
All right. Fantastic. Now, Mug, I know that you have practiced in the past with some of the other records that you've attempted. Have you had any kind of preparation leading up to today for this challenge?
I actually did. 2 days ago, I complimented a nice burger with a shake from In-N-Out, and that was pretty difficult to do. So I've trained hard.
Wait a minute. Shake. You had a milkshake and In-N-Out. That's your training hard?
Yes.
You trained hard.
Tough. Okay. Ready to go.
But let me ask you this, and I know we don't have a lot of the specifics about the current record, but it seems like the more liquid the shake is, the easier it would be to suck it down the straw fast.
Sure, yeah.
Are there any kind of rules in terms of the viscosity of the shake?
Well, no.
Ricky knows.
I don't know. But
wait,
you always do mug search. How did you not do any mug search?
My mug search was just strictly training on this one. I just went right into the field.
And by strictly training, you mean one milkshake at In-N-Out.
Yes.
Ralph, right. since you're behind the blender today, yeah. How would you describe the shake? Is it like a McDonald's shake, or is it even thicker than that, more like a Frosty at Wendy's?
I would call it standard thickness. It pours easily out of the blender container, but it's certainly thick enough. It's not liquid. In any sense. So.
I think the more liquid, the better, because he has to do it through a straw.
Right.
That's the difficult part. Yes. You can't just tip it up.
Doesn't it seem like someone like Super Whore would be really, really good at this challenge? I mean, when you really think about just sucking it in as fast as possible.
She could suck the whole glass through a straw.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know why we're having Mug try this.
All right, 9.8 seconds. We have a timer that is 9.8 seconds?
I have a timer.
I have a timer set up in exactly 9.8 seconds. You will hear a buzzer go off, so...
We'll see where he is at that point. The milkshake has been poured. The straw is in place. And Mug, are you ready?
Let's do this.
Ralph, give us a little play-by-play.
All right. Can we start the timer?
Mug, 3, 2, 1, guzzle.
All right. He is sucking. Oh, look. His
cheeks. Oh, my God.
His cheeks are concave. Look, he's really getting it down. It's going very quickly. He's about halfway through.
Wow.
He is...
Are you kidding me? That was 9.8 seconds right there.
He felt like two.
He drank. Mug, that was exactly 9.8 seconds.
He drank less than half of the milkshake.
Oh, Ralph, fill it back up. Give him another shot.
Hey, do we have like a thicker straw?
You mean a wider straw?
Like wider, yeah.
And I actually fashioned these straws. I fashioned them. They were longer, and I cut them in half. They're pretty wide straws. So.
Did you steal those from Omar that he uses for something else?
No, these are the 7-Eleven Big Gulp straws. Yeah. The thick ones used on the major Big Gulp.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
we have to build it back up to the top again.
Let's top it off and go again.
All right, it is topped off. Now you have an idea of how much time you have to play with. All right, Mug?
Here we go.
You ready, Mug?
Let's do this.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, chuck.
Come on, suck. Suck harder. Suck harder. Suck it, bitch. Suck it. Come on. Give it that
suck, dude.
All right, come on. Seriously. Oh, his head,
waving
his
around.
Head is concave. His arm is outstretched.
Oh.
He got like a third of that one down.
Oh, no. Fill it back up.
One more time.
I drink your milk.
I think he can do it. I have confidence.
Why do you think it would be easier the third time around, Kevin, than it is the first?
See how Mike's feeling. Mike, how are you feeling?
Feels like my brain is...
Yeah. Hey, stop talking. Fill it up. Let's go again.
It's full?
A little less talk, a little more suck it, I think is what we're saying here.
Don't gyrate so much, too. You're gyrating like crazy. Just
why is he gyrating?
I don't know.
Well, I think the pain, the brain freeze is making him a little jiggy.
No. Hey, two things before attempt number three, and then I think we're almost out of time here. A, is Dave, King of Mexico, is he videotaping for KRock.com?
Dave has got the camera in hand, yes.
And B, Alex has some advice, and I guess it's coming from some personal experience. You need to relax the back of your throat, Alex says.
Is that how it goes?
That's the answer. Right.
Get rid of that gag reflex.
All right, are we ready for attempt number three?
Do it. Do it, Stu.
Mug, look at me. Come on, dude. All right? Come on.
Oh, Mike's going to be Mike's personal trainer.
3, 2, 1, suck.
All right. He has got it down on the table this time. He's trying a different technique. He is sucking. His eyes are bulging out of his head. He is sucking. Now you got a shot. Go. Come on.
I drank your milkshake.
How much did he get?
Like a third.
Fill it up.
Keeps getting worse.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. That's the telephone number to get through to us for Kevin Means What to Do Nephew. This is going to be fun, Kevin, because they're testing the main stage about 200 yards to our right. So it's going to be a lot of
a lot of noise.
A lot of that. But you get through, you get on the air, we'll reward you with a pair of tickets to Championship Off-Road Racing this weekend at the Fairplex in Pomona. So won't you please check it out? Let's start with our man Carlos. He is in, of all places, Glendale. Hey, Carlos, what it do?
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, Legion?
Not there.
Hey, what's going on?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Carlos.
Oh, yeah. I'm calling regarding the topic that you're talking about last week regarding Filipino guy, like, pulling something out of his butt.
Yes. Let me bring our listeners up to speed. We're talking about a very funny internet video of some doctors and nurses performing an operation in the Philippines that ended up on YouTube, and they are having a party machine.
I think it got taken down.
I think so. Yeah, what were they pulling? Was it a can of hairspray or something?
It was a spray can, right. A full can with a cap on it, and they were laughing so hard, it sounded like there were 40 people in the emergency room.
Laughing and applauding and high-fiving, and you were that guy, Carlos?
Yeah, actually there's like four doctors and three nurses that got fired, and they pulled out a can of Axe. This guy's gay.
Okay, wait a minute. You were there? No, the joke was that Carlos was that guy. Clearly he wasn't that guy.
Oh.
But what is it you're calling to tell us? We already talked about the story. What are you calling to add?
Right, this guy was like a hooker, basically. And I think he got one customer's pissed off.
Oh,
so
no.
He plugged his butt with a can of...
That's the backstory, no pun intended, on how it ended up in his butt.
So,
it wasn't on purpose then.
No, it wasn't on purpose. It was out of rage. And all the doctors had camera phone, and they took.
Thank you, Carlos. We appreciate it. We had linked that through KROQ.com, the Internet Roundup, because it was fantastic. But then the source place that had the thing up there, they took it down too. So
it's too bad. That was really fun.
But you got to look for it and see it, because it really is. It's one of the funniest surgical videos I've ever seen. I don't know if that's a category.
Our friend Richie in Pacoima has a question for Kevin.
Okay.
Yes, Richie.
Hey, good morning. What it do?
What it do?
I'm in Pacoima at the Whiteman Airport about to board a four-seater Cessna to make it out there to Coachella. I mean, it's no helicopter, but I just wanted to see our man Kevin got out there this year.
I drove. And
you mean Linus drove?
No, I drove. I drove myself.
Really? You got in your own car and drove out here in real people regular time?
I drove on the 10, then I got in the 60. I only took a helicopter here one time. I wish I could take it every time. It's so great. But you're going to fly to what, Palm Springs?
He just hung up.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Fantastic. I think it's going well. I don't know about you guys.
I like the guys who don't want to drive. They're going to fly here somehow.
Uh-huh.
This guy's going to take a plane.
Let's try Larry on line 5, please, Mike. He is in Fontana on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Larry. What it do?
What it do, Matthew?
What's going on?
I can't believe I made it on the Ralph Garman Show. This is awesome.
What's happening? What can we do for you?
I'm actually calling to call out my boy Rob that's there at Breakfast with Jack Johnson.
Okay.
He took his girlfriend there and not me.
Well, he should have. What's wrong with you? Do you put out?
I would have.
For Jack Johnson, yeah. You got to understand, man. You put Jack Johnson in front of a woman, she just turns liquid from the waist down. I mean, it is a slam dunk.
This is Carlos with the pregnant wife?
No,
different.
Different
Carlos?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Different person. Right. Yeah, he did the right thing. You are just going to have to accept that he made the right decision to bring a woman to Jack Johnson. I'm sorry. All right, Mike, any great calls that we can't afford to go into the weekend without? Otherwise, we're going to say goodbye.
No. I got to tell you, I think we should just send it now.
Excellent. I want to thank the great Jack Johnson and his band for stopping by. Please get their new CD, Sleep Through the Static, in stores and available for download everywhere. And, of course, they're headlining Coachella tonight. And I also want to thank Jeremy McGrath for being on the show today. He, of course, with Championship Off-Road Racing. 2008 season kickoff is this weekend at the Fairplex in Pomona, if you want to check that out. I think that's it for guests today, but Monday... Hell of a show, am I right?
Yeah, Monday we have Olivia Wilde. She's going to be on House.
Bell, 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 bell. Thank you.
The hell was that? We have Lewis Black, funny man Lewis Black, on the program on Monday. He doesn't get a bell at all.
Sorry.
We're going to talk to Doto on Monday because he sent us a very disturbing email.
and it might not be funny. But we're going to talk to him because we like to roll the dice that way. If you have some time this weekend, check out krock.com. Coachella is on. You can watch it all 3 days. You got your Jack Johnson tonight, Prince tomorrow night, Roger Waters Sunday night.
And I have some good news on that, Kevin. We were saying earlier how there were no single-day passes available for Friday and Saturday. I don't know how it happened, but strangely, now there are.
Oh.
So if you really did, you got caught up in the excitement here in Jack Johnson this morning. My God, I'd love to see that guy do a full set. You can still come down and just get a ticket for today or tomorrow. Or, of course, you can get the three-day package.
And there are many, many bands playing. You got the Crazy Astronaut Diaper Ladies. They're playing today. That's going to be good. Ebony Suppository is tomorrow. And Balzac Road Rash, I believe, is going to end Sunday night. So.
Yeah.
And Ass Full of Oscar and Baby Jesus Butt Plugs. All right. And Anal Afro.
We'll,
and the Bacon Horse.
See you Monday. Let's play that song we love so much. That means it's officially a weekend. Have a good Coachella.
And Grandpa's Beaver Hat.
Grandpa's Beaver Hat? Did they get back together?
And Fire Hose of Vomit. Enjoy.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
And leopard skin camel toe.
Pass it over to me.
And oddly Catholic.
Roll another one.
Sniffing Natalie will be also playing.
Just like the other one.
Texas Sodomy Laws, great band.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Urine Tsunami, fantastic.
And I need another hit.
And Vaginal Hazmat.
Okay. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Why not the Beastie Boys? How about Social D, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Muse, Blur, Face to Face, and more coming up on K-Rock.
Taint Demolition, also playing here this weekend. Plus bobbing for gonads. And Boner Rigor Mortis. And Bud Hyman.
Bud Hyman, are you kidding?
It's my
side stage or main stage?
But Hyman.
They go on right after Gravy Chuckers.
Are all these bands confirmed? That seems like too good a show for me.
And the Crafty Gays. And the Juke Canoe.
Oh.
Saturday.
The Juke Canoe.
Really? Pete Doherty's Cat today. Paper Mache Wiener also on Sunday. And Residual Rodney.
Oh, my God. That was bad, right?
It wasn't great.
Dude, where's my office? I totally lost it because I was half-baked, smoking doobies. Doobie Brothers. I was smoking doobies with my brothers. Peace out, Seacrest.
Before you go, there's one thing you need to know, and that's I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC, and we're doing a story on adults who meet kids on the Internet for sex. So is there anything else you'd like to...